much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Did I miss anything?
You're just in time.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I kind of want to watch this in 3D. Does that make me bad?
Yep.
Stop confusing me with your logic.
What are you willing to concede that you've done that was wrong and you wish you had not done it?
Well, in retrospect, I shouldn't have showered with those kids.
That's it?
That's what hits me the most.
You just got me seriously horny.
I like a lot of things. A lot.
What an unbelievably unpleasant person.
Well, we all are impatient. We don't like to put off things, and we want what we want when we want it. And sometimes we end up spending a lot of time and money, and then, sadly, we don't end up with what we really wanted.
And now,
that was intense. What you just did.
Our feature presentation.
Lisa is much deeper than us.
I don't think you can argue with what I said.
Well, I'm not sure.
Or understand it.
Right. You have to understand it first to argue.
Right. I understand.
So, we don't.
I wouldn't try if I were you.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, brand new program. It's Thursday morning.
What's going on, party people? Kevin, you're leaving for Coachella today? I just found out.
I am. I always do on Thursdays, yeah.
So, how's tomorrow going to be?
Oh,
you're already going to be in the bag. It's already going to be the weekend for you. So how much attention are you going to be paying?
Are you kidding? I'm a professional.
Look it up in the book.
Probably be better than ever.
I'm sure. For us.
Well, it's very exciting when Coachella weekend comes around. And we'll tell you more about that later. And some of the bands are going to be stopping by the K-Rock Coachella house. And all the broadcasting going on for the weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let me start with this story, though. Remember how outraged Ralph was by a story that he did on the show? Gosh, was it yesterday or the day before, where he had read a survey about men's preference of grooming, female grooming, remember?
Yes.
And he just thought the results were all out of whack with the percentages of who likes what. This is a study that I think is going to upset women just as much. This comes from the University of Besançon, which I'm sure is not how it's pronounced. It's in eastern France, and a professor there named Jean-Denis Rouillon has done a 15-year study on the benefits or not of women wearing bras.
Really?
It's a hell of a time to really – I mean, he really put in his time on that one.
15 years, 330 women. He basically, spent measuring the changes in their breasts, those that wore bras versus those that didn't, over 15 years. His conclusion, Lisa,
yes.
Medically, physiologically, anatomically, breasts gain no benefit from being denied gravity. On the contrary, they get saggier wearing a bra.
How could they possibly get saggier?
How could they get saggier?
That doesn't make sense.
He also found no evidence. Hey, it's science, first of all. So I hope you're unsnapping right now as you're listening. He found no evidence that bras help ease back pain. Instead, he found that the chest supports could even add to the problem.
Well, that I could see.
This is a guy who doesn't like bras.
Yeah, obviously. He wants his women swinging low.
He just figured out, look, I like saggy, and I'm going to do a, quote, 15-year study to support that.
Look, we've all seen National Geographic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That seems to be proof to the contrary.
It's not good.
He says that bras limit the growth of supporting breast tissues, leaving the breast to wither and degrade more quickly.
Okay.
Researchers also found that braless women developed firmer breasts and saw their stretch marks fade. So it's just nothing but good news if you don't wear a bra. Some of the women who took part in the study said that not wearing a bra helped ease their back pains. Here's a woman, now granted she's only 28, who swears by the results and hasn't worn a bra for 2 years. She says there are multiple benefits. I breathe more easily. I carry myself better. I have less back pain. Again, she's 28. The doctor says the findings do not mean that all women should throw away their bras. It would be dangerous to advise all women to start wearing their bras, as the women involved may not be a representative sample of the population, which seems to defeat the entire purpose of 15 years of work if it's not representative sample.
By the way, this has nothing to do with anyone else, only the people I study.
Isn't that the whole point of a study like this? Is it supposed to be able to help us draw some larger conclusion for the population?
Yes,
you need some
answer
kind of
the
a
question.
Generalization that will aid society.
Finally, while his initial results validated the hypothesis that a bra is a false need, women who have been wearing bras for a long time would not gain any benefit from stopping now. So in other words, the entire thing is just pointless.
That is the most worthless thing I've ever heard.
It's fairly pointless. Yes.
Oh, look, they don't help much, but if you've been wearing it, you should. But if you haven't, don't. Thanks for that 15-year
study. Probably, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Look, we could mock this guy, but he had women coming to him every single week probably for 15 years that he would then have them disrobe and he would measure their breasts. That was his deal that he had. That was
his deal that he had. Yes.
Right. Yes. Why only 15 years? Why isn't this
Good
a permanent
point.
Study?
I think that's why this study is non-conclusive. He must do it again.
It'll be a lifetime study.
A bigger sample.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry. I got to go to work again today. You know, I got to go measure those boobies.
What are you going to do today? I got 30 women coming in.
Yep, taking
really
up their tops.
Some of them have back pain because their breasts are so big. I hope I'm helping.
I should have been a scientist. Man, wasting my time in radio.
You had a good chance.
Funny. Oh, well, no, I blew it.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Stop trying to be black. It's embarrassing.
We have Tony Hale on the program.
He's the best.
One of the co-stars of Veep and Arrested Development.
Yep.
He's Buster Bluth.
Talk to him. We can talk to him about either one, and he's going to be in the studio today. Very excited about that. Dr. Drew will be on the program. We talk to him every Thursday about whatever happens to be going on. This time, I think it might be that Teen Mom that
Has
come out with all the
we
music.
Must discuss.
And, whew, she's something.
I've got some tape to play for you guys and Dr. Drew when we have him on about something shocking that he said on the Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood podcast as well.
Oh, really?
Something shocking Dr. Drew said?
Yes.
Interesting.
Okay. All right. DJ Qualls will be in the studio as well. He's one of the stars of Legit, the Jim Jeffries show on FX, which is so fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, are we, I haven't checked in a while, are we wheelchair friendly? Are we going to be able to get him in here?
He's not really in a wheelchair.
Some of those doors might be a little tight to get him through and make sure he can reach the mic and all that kind of stuff.
He's an actor. Danny Boyle. We'll be on the show talking about Trance, which looks great.
It does. Intense.
And we have a brand new internet roundup for you, and we have your three-day Coachella passes.
So awesome.
It's a pretty big show. It's all coming up this morning. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beatnik.
Ralph Garman.
Hey, how you guys been?
Hey,
Good
Ralph.
To see you again.
What's up?
Great to see you guys. How y'all? How are you?
We're good. You?
I'm glad. Good.
All right.
Everybody good?
Everybody's good.
Family, kids, everybody happy?
All good, yes.
Oh, that's great. Hey, look, good seeing you. Hope to run to you again sometime.
Thanks for stopping by.
All right, so since you're here. No, Ralph, since you're here, don't leave. Since you're here, how about a look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning Kevin Devine show?
No. No.
Really, no?
I can't because I got no sleep last night. I can't think about anything else. I'm emotionally scarred. I'm a physical and an emotional wreck.
What happened?
I watched Southland last night.
Oh.
Did you watch Southland last night?
I did not.
Did you watch it?
I did not.
I haven't seen it yet.
I taped it. I did tape it.
Rot in hell!
But.
Most intense hour of television I've seen, maybe ever, certainly in the past 10 years. It was ridiculous.
All right, let me ask you this, though, and please don't spoil it, but. Better or worse than Buck Wild?
Jeez. You're really putting a gun to my head here. I'd have to say a little bit better.
Wow better than Buck Wild. Okay, tell me more.
It was just insane. And Cudlitz is just a god among men. He's just
this season, he's been incredible.
Ridiculous. This show is just too good to go away. TNT, do the right thing. Just, you know what? Just do it.
Do what's right.
Do what's right. Your TNT.
Don't make
for
us start
God's
a
sakes.
Kickstarter campaign.
Well, look, if you let us keep Southland, we'll let you keep Rizzoli and Isles. Okay?
Whatever that is.
I know, that's a thing. That's going strong. Madness. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Linda Lohan! I already mentioned yesterday that she will be checking into a place called the Seafield Center in beautiful West Hampton Beach, New York. Now, this is the place she has to do her 90 days of rehab, and originally the deal with the court was that she was going to do a locked-down rehab, so she couldn't get out. Turns out no such thing exists.
But no one bothered
to check. Certainly
not
in New York State. So the next best thing is this place has guards on all the doors and surveillance cameras and walls, so she can walk out if she wants, but they'll know it if she goes, so they'll just report her to authorities, and then she'll go directly to jail.
I was going to ask, if she does that, then she has to do the jail time, right?
The total for her 90-day stay is going to be $51,750.
Who pays that? Does she?
I think she has to pay that, yeah.
Wow.
But here's the good news, is that her father went to rehab there. Her father dried out there in the 80s.
Oh, okay. Is there a family discount?
So that good news is for her that she has to get into the sorority now because she's a legacy.
That's true.
Sorry, but it's nice when, you know, kids become alums of their parents' alma maters. I think
following their steps.
I think that's adorable.
Sure.
Word is, her dad Michael Lowen apparently is also a pretty good friend of the guy who runs the place, and so there may be some sort of discount.
This is already shaky.
I know there's already weird dealings going
even gone
on
yet.
Hey, are you like me? And you said, how did Snooki lose all that weight after she had her body, her baby?
I didn't really ever pay that close attention to Snooki.
Yeah, I never said that either.
Okay.
Even if she lost the weight, she's still so unattractive that it doesn't help.
Yeah, she's hideous. But she said that breastfeeding and exercise was the key. Now it turns out not so much.
What does that mean?
She's been surviving on a diet of lettuce, egg whites, booze, and laxatives.
Oh, my God.
So, ladies, there's your fashion and beauty tip for the day. If you want to look like Snooki, just lettuce, egg whites, booze, and laxatives. That's the Snooki diet.
Most girls, I would say all girls, would need to have some plastic surgery gone wrong to look like Snooki as well.
Why can't she go mudding? That's what I want to
know. Good
question. Why can't she just go mudding? How about this Hollywood couple? Kate Upton and Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Dua Diddy Combs.
No, please.
Kate Upton and Diddy.
No.
Is that the couple you want to see making out in the VIP room?
No.
Well, New York Daily News broke the rumor yesterday saying an eyewitness claimed to have spotted Kate, 20. She's 20, by the way.
Yeah, she is.
And Diddy, 43, making out in the VIP room of a nightclub called Miami Beach.
No way. No way.
This is apparently just after she broke up with Detroit Tigers pitcher Justin Verlander. So there may be love in the air between Diddy and Booby.
Well, she's denying it, but who knows?
Well, I hope that she's denying it not out of shame, but out of truth.
Not being
true. Right.
Yeah. While we're talking about hot chicks, Miranda Kerr from Victoria's Secret, she was one of their angels. Her contract is not being renewed.
Oh, really? She's been with them for a long time?
Yes, she has. And apparently Victoria's Secret's had an ass full of her. That's true. Us Weekly Magazine says the reason that the underwear retailer dropped her contracts because she has a reputation for being difficult.
Is that right?
And reportedly is not a big seller for the brand. Doesn't move a lot of merch.
Huh.
When you drape it on that hideous body of hers, no one's interested.
She's way too skinny.
She is pretty skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, she will no longer be an angel. She's a fallen angel, if you will.
What if I won't?
What happens next? What happens next? What happens when you're not an angel anymore? No one has the answer.
I don't know.
And yesterday, all that talk about Alec Baldwin being offered Carson Daly's time slot by NBC to take over the late show there.
Right.
Apparently that just talk. NBC announced yesterday in response that they're renewing Carson's last call for a 13th season.
Wow.
Carson's been on the show for 13 years.
How about that?
It's a really good show, by the way. It's not one that I have time to watch very often, but, you know, like most of those late night shows, if there's a guest I'm interested in, I'll tape it. And he does a terrific job on it.
I agree.
He's an excellent interviewer.
Talented broadcaster. And I'm surprised.
And you know, it has no set, Kevin. You know, they just do it out on the street or whatever. They meet at a bar and do the interview there. They don't have a set, which is interesting.
I like it.
I want to save NBC a lot of money. It's Carson Daly in a flip phone.
Right.
Just recording his interview with people. And I'm surprised this hasn't happened already. Andrew Lloyd Webber, legendary Broadway impresario, has announced he wants to take Jack Black's movie School of Rock and turn it into a Broadway musical.
Be great for that.
Makes a lot of sense. There's already a ton of great classic rock and roll songs in the movie that they could put on stage to make it sort of a jukebox musical with classics from AC/DC, Zeppelin, The Who, Cream, and others. And they're also going to write original songs for the characters to sing, so everybody's predicting it'll be a big hit. I'm surprised no one thought of that. When we have freaking Footloose, the musical, no one thought School of Rock?
Right.
That would've been first on my list. Today's celebrity birthdays. A bassist, Dylan Keefe of Marcy Playground, is 43 years old. Can you see what kind of day it's going to be for the birthdays?
Yeah. Does he make the list even with a weekday?
Look, he may not be a big name.
Right.
That's all I got. He may not be a big name.
But he's not a big name.
How about Joss Stone? How about Joss Stone? How about bloody Joss Stone? How do you feel about her, mate?
She's pretty hot.
Yeah, she is, isn't she? She's 26 years old.
She could wear shoes, though.
Wouldn't kill her.
Doesn't bother me at all, the shoes. note, not being on.
Prances around in her bare feet on stage.
Right. Walk on me. Walk on, walk on this right here with those bare feet. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz. It is Coachella weekend number one. You should be plugged into krock.com for all the details and all the cool stuff that's going on. By the way, set list released yesterday if you want to plan your weekend on who you're going to see. And that's always very difficult when they put two things you really like at the same time.
And they always do. Yeah. Bastards.
That's the struggle at K-Rock at the Coachella every year for you, Kevin, is, oh my God, I want to see this, but it's a mile from that.
I want to see that.
Anyway, and so the set lists are all up, and you can also get all the details on the K-Rock Coachella house, including what time all the various bands are going to be stopping by, and Passion Pit, and Foals, and Vampire Weekend, and so many more are stopping by. It's really, really going to be fun. So, yeah, check out that details at K-Rock.com.
It is Thursday. That means there's new movies in the theater tomorrow. This one came out last week in limited release, but is opening wide. Tell me how good Trance looks.
Where is the painting?
I don't remember.
I know what you were going to do to me.
She put that memory there.
It's not real.
The plan was simple. Just hypnotize the guy. You bring him back the painting.
Was I hypnotized?
He's afraid that once he's remembered, you'll kill him.
Why are we all screaming?
We're scared.
It's always a thrill to welcome Academy Award-winning director Danny Boyle back to the Kevin and Bean Show. He's one of our favorite filmmakers and guests. Hi, Mr. Boyle. How are you, sir?
Hello, guys. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
We're doing great. We're so happy to have you back on the radio and in cinema. This Trance looks amazing, dude. Are you so happy with the way it came out?
Yeah, no, it's very good. It's very, it's a great evening. It's a great evening's entertainment. It's kind of like, We always try and make complex and pleasurable movies, and this one's devious as well, added in there. So, so it was lovely to be able to do it, yeah.
How long have you been working on this movie?
Well, actually, I mean, it goes way back, this movie. The original script, way, way back, came to me a long, long time ago, and I was never able to kind of forget it. But we started working on it properly after Slumdog Millionaire. So after Slumdog Millionaire, we were working on two scripts. One was the Aaron Wolfson script that we made with James Franco, 127
right.
hours.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the next one is Trance, which is released. Yeah, is out now, and it was something that we shot in London while we were preparing the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games, which we also did. And it was a weird mixture actually, because the Olympics is a kind of, obviously it's a kind of feel good, family friendly, national celebration. Everything positive, you know, it's like, and at the same time we were making this dark, twisted thriller, complex thriller, with a woman at the center of it, and it was really lovely combo to you know, the dark and the light to be able to make, so yeah, wow. We've been a long time thinking about it, and I've never made a movie, actually, I've never made a movie where a woman is in the engine room of the movie, and what's the pleasure of this film, one of the pleasures of this film for me is that this character played by Rosario Dawson, she starts off, she's brought in to try and sort out the mystery of where this painting is by using hypnosis on James McAvoy's character,
right.
And she moves inexorably towards the engine room of the movie, and by the end of the movie you'll realize who's in charge of the movie.
Well, you mentioned two of the great cast members, Vincent Cassell, also in the film, who's just brilliant. But let's talk about this hypnosis thing, because I'm fascinated. I mean, look, we've been fascinated with the human mind as long as we've been aware of it. How can you tell when you're in a therapy situation like I've seen in the trailers for your movie, whether what the person is coughing up is an actual memory or just a dream or a fantasy or if it really happened? Like, how do they even know?
Yeah, you mean for real? How do people
know
for real?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of, well, most of the time, supposedly for about 90% of the population, it's kind of, you are kind of aware of that you're still in the room. You know, on one, like, you're able to balance out, you know where you are, and they say you won't do anything you don't want to do, you won't go anywhere you don't want to go, you'll be able to kind of come out of it whenever you want. However, for 5 to 10% of the population who are extremely suggestible, hypnosis is a much more powerful tool. And these are the people, you know, when you go and see a stage hypnotist, these are the people that get up on stage. They don't fake it by getting actors to pretend,
right.
You know, by hiring actors. What they do is in the pre-show or in the early part of the show, they're selecting the members of the audience who are part of that 5 to 10% who are extremely suggestible. And it's those people they get up on stage. And those people do want to lose themselves. And I think, to answer your question, they don't know what's happening to them.
Wow.
They don't know where they're going. They're getting really entranced. And that's, fortunately for our movie, James McAvoy's character happens to be one of the 5 to 10% who are extremely suggestible and don't know it.
He plays an art auctioneer and helps steal a painting. Then he forgets where he puts it, and the guys don't believe him rightly. I mean, can you imagine stealing a super expensive painting and going to the guys and going, you know what? Sorry, I forgot where it is.
Yeah.
I really apologize for that. They try everything, including this. Did you, how much studying on this topic did you do? Did you try to get hypnotized?
We got a director, a professor of psychology in, who's like a master hypnotist. He knows everything about the history of the subject and also how to do it. And he hypnotized James McAvoy and Vincent Gazelle in front of us all. And that was very dreamy, nice, sleepy, meditative experience. I think they were like the 80% of the population, 80, 90% of the population. And then he asked me whether I wanted to be hypnotized, and I said, absolutely no way.
No.
I'm one of the 5 to 10% and don't know it. I'll be telling these actors stuff they really don't want to know about. So I did try to cast, who turned us down, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so I didn't go for it. So I don't know whether I'm one of the 5 to 10% actually.
It could be very dangerous. Our fear about being hypnotized, Danny, is that we're going to wake up with penises drawn on our faces in Sharpies. That's what we're afraid of. It's just something bad's going to happen to us. Real quick before you go, because I know you only have a minute left. When you chose this painting, the Goya Witches in the Air painting, which is a real painting that exists in a real museum in Europe, do you have to get permission from the gallery to be able to use it? Because I would think that all of a sudden your painting becomes super, super famous and somebody might want to steal it.
Yes, indeed. But its value, any kind of exposure will make its value go up. You sort of have to get there, but you don't legally have to get their permission. But I think it's a courtesy. By a courtesy, you have to get their agreement. And certainly they let our painter, who travel to the museum, and make two copies, which are very, very good copies of the original. Yeah, they let our painter paint two copies. And he used the original techniques, you know, that they used in making these paintings originally. So they're almost indistinguishable, actually, which is another movie you could make as well about kind of painting.
Sure. Well, it just looks amazing. I've heard it's Inception meets the Thomas Crown Affair, and that's good enough for me to make it to the theaters this week. And the film is called Trance. Danny Boyle is the director. Always great to have you on the show, sir. Good luck with the film, and thanks for coming on.
Thanks very much indeed, guys.
You bet. We appreciate it. Boy, he makes good movies.
I know.
He sure does.
And the music for this movie sounds awesome as well.
Oh, yeah. He's the best at that. It's unbelievable, the record collection this dude must have.
All right. Let's open up the phone lines. 1-800-520-1067. If you'd like to go to Coachella, we have 3-day passes for weekend number two, and the K-Rock Coachella House.
Nice.
So if you'd like to do that, you can call now, 1-800-520-1067.
Now, we should say, you are going to be asked to play a game. We can't tell you what the game is, but this isn't just a call-up and we give them to you. You are going to be participating in a game that I think you're going to enjoy, but give us a call if you want to go, and you can go for next weekend. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play, give you your tickets next on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. Very excited about today's program here for a Thursday. Tony Hale from Arrested Development and Veep, which is another show that I love, by the way, is going to be on the program today, and also DJ Qualls from Legit, all coming up. Right now, we want to hook you up with tickets for Coachella. Look, let's face it. Everybody knows the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Everybody knows, you know, Modest Mouse and the Yeah Yeah Yeahs and of Monsters of Man and Passion Pit and Franz Ferdinand. So many great bands headlining the shows. But you know what it's like, Kevin, when you get out there. There's like 200 other bands.
Yeah.
Some of which you've never heard of. Some of which you're not sure they're even real. They sound so crazy.
Yeah, so they have some good, funny band names.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And, you know, a lot of times it's your first introduction to this band. It is kind of a fun deal to discover.
It's only when they become famous that you get used to that name. I mean, there was a time when Incubus sounded like a stupid band name. But now we just accept that it's Incubus because we know them and we love them. So anyway, we thought it might be fun to play around with some of the baby bands that are at Coachella again this year. And that's why we're going to give you a chance to win some tickets, a 3-day pass for next weekend, and access to the K-Rock Coachella House with a game we like to call Fake Band, Real Band.
Fake Band, Real Band, Fake Band, Real Band. pick the real one. I don't think that you can. If you do, you'll strike gold. But if you don't, you're just an asshole.
That's true.
That I don't know why you got to be mean like that.
That's just the truth.
All right, let's go to our first contestant. I think this is going to be, is it Charlie on line one? But Charlie's a girl? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, Charlie could be a girl's name. Sorry. Hey, Charlie.
Hello.
Hi, Charlie.
Very, very sexy, by the way. Charlie works at Victoria's Secret, too, on top of that.
All right, take it easy.
I'm just saying, Charlie's a good deal.
Okay.
I want Charlie to win. All right, so it's fake band, real band. I'm going to give you a list of names of bands that could or could not be playing Coachella. One of them is actually playing it and is a real band. You just have to tell us which one is real. You ready, Charlie?
I'm ready.
All right, listen up. Is it A, Horatron, B, Slutsky, C, Lucy Lucy, or D, Lisa May's Vagina? Which one is the real band that's playing Coachella?
I'm going to go for C.
C, no, I'm sorry. Lucy Lucy is not real. It's Horatron is the real
Horatron.
Band that's playing.
Horatron.
Great name. Oh.
Sorry, Charlie. Thank you for playing, though. Who's our next contestant?
Horatron is funny. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Matt works for the UPS.
All right, fake band, real band. Is the real band playing Coachella this weekend A, the Banana Peels, B, Low-Hanging Fruit, C, Infected Mushroom, D, Lisa May's Cantaloupes?
We should just call this game, the answer is not D. Okay, sorry, what did you say, Matt?
C, Infected Mushroom.
Yes, that's a real band. Well done, you are in the drawing. Well done, my friend.
Nicely done. Let's go to Chris, who's a chef. Hi, Chris.
Hello, sir. Good morning.
Hello,
good
morning, sir.
All right, fake band, real band, here we go. Is the band playing Coachella this weekend A, Borge W. Gush, B, Tamilco, C, Mord Fustang, or D, Misa Lay?
I'd like it to be all four.
I'm going to go with B.
You're going to say B, Tamilco. No, I'm sorry. It's Mord Fustang is the real name of a band. Oh, Mord Fustang is playing Coachella this year. Thank you for playing anyway.
All right. Let's go to Jason, who is a purchasing manager. Hi, Jason.
Hi. Good morning.
How are you doing so far playing on hold there, sir?
I have not been doing very well.
Okay. Well, it's a tough game.
It's very
a tough
difficult.
Game. All right. One of these bands is real playing Coachella this weekend. Is it A, Birdie Nam Nam? B, Chitty Bang Bang, C, Knocky Knock Knock, or D, Lisa's Pom Poms?
I'm going to go with A.
A, Birdie Nam Nam is correct. That is an actual band. Wow. Nice.
Nicely done. Hold on. Let's go to Sarah, who is an operations manager at a hotel. Hi, Sarah.
Hi there.
All right, Sarah, you're playing for weekend number two of Coachella and access to the K-Rock Coachella house. Is the real band playing this weekend A, Papa Knows Best, B, Kids These Days, C, Like Mother, Like Daughter, D, Let's Put a Baby in Lisa?
B, Kids These Days?
B, Kids These Days. That is correct.
That's
correct. Yes, that's a real band.
Nicely
congratulations.
Done.
Hold All right, on. We just got one more.
All right, let's go to Jose. Hi, Jose.
Hello.
Hey, Jose. How you doing today, dude?
I'm all right.
Out of breath. You seem to be way out of breath. What's going on?
Good. I'd like a hand check on Coach A. All right, here we go. Which one is the real band playing Coachella? Is it A, Shovels and Rope, B, Sugar and Spice, C, Planets and Moons, or D, Lisa and Duct Tape?
Sugars and Spice.
No, I'm sorry. The correct answer is A, Shovels and Rope is the name of a real band. And somebody ought to check what's going on in their trunk, because that's very suspicious
that
as
sounds
well.
Like a band Bean would start.
All right. So Matt is in the drawing. I believe Jason also worked his way in, and one other that
Sarah.
I don't have in front of
Sarah.
Me. Sarah. Sarah's in. So only one can win. Who's it going to be, Lisa?
The winner is Matt.
Matt.
Yeah!
Matt, congratulations.
Yeah. All right.
Nicely done.
Woo! Thank you, guys.
You bet. Thank you.
It's just impossible.
It's just. I'm writing this fast
now.
I'm writing as fast as I can, but you got to slow it down with the Thanks for That Info Bean information.
It's not a Thanks for That Info Bean. The guy stopped to take a picture of a beaver. It had bit him in the thigh, and he bled to death, and it killed him. Now, how is that not interesting?
It's unbelievable.
It is. Thank you, Lisa.
Now we got freaking Lisa. She's gone to the dark side. You know why? Because there's an animal involved. If not, Lisa wouldn't give a rat's ass this story.
That's true.
More to the point, there's a beaver involved. No wonder Lisa likes it. I'm just saying. Guy got killed by a beaver. You don't see that very often. I thought it was interesting. All right, 6:52 or thereabouts here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday morning. Ralph joins us. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What the hell is going on?
You need to understand the words "I found it interesting" have no value in the real world.
He got bitten by a beaver.
You are the Bitcoins of conversation. Only in your virtual world do the words "I found it interesting" mean anything.
I have value on paper only, but not in the real world.
That's correct.
God damn it.
Stupid Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa, for having my back.
You're welcome.
Oh, that's interesting, Bean. Tell me more. Wait, he stopped to take a picture. God damn it.
I was writing my hand off. And
I know. Poor. I actually saw smoke coming out of the piece of paper Kevin had a pen to on the other side of the console. Madness. All right. Another day with Ralph Showbiz Beat. Another survey. Another study.
All right. You love the studies.
They're all BS. The first study I brought you was like, "Oh, most men don't like big boobs." Lies. Then I brought you, "Oh, most men like little foliage down there in the lady garden." Lies.
It's science.
And now this study, biggest lies ever from this study. Now this comes from Australian researchers.
So did yesterday's. The Australians do good work.
Well, this is from the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences journal.
All right.
And they claim, this is the most ridiculous one yet, that women find men with big penises more attractive. It's just madness. Madness, right?
Where do they get this stuff?
Yeah, apparently it's true, fellas. Given some 3D models of men, all things being equal except for the size of their penises, women rated men with larger penises more attractive.
Sorry, Bean.
How much did this study cost, I wonder?
Women preferred larger penises, at least up to 5.1 inches flaccid. Flaccid. That means not at full attention. Who's walking around with 5 inches without anything else going on there? However, it's more important. They found out that looking at the figures, the computer-generated figures for these women, it was more important that the men had a high ratio of wider shoulders to hip ratio.
We like the broad shoulders.
So broad shoulders, narrower hips were the most attractive feature
of
these
models.
That was
more important than the...
More important than the penis size. So, sorry, beer mug.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Is it really that big?
Beer mug's got hips like a can-can dancer. Here's an update on that Veronica Mars movie. You remember the Kickstarter campaign started by director and creator Rob Thomas to do a feature film?
Don't you tell us it was a scam.
Based on his popular TV series. It was all a big joke.
Well, the good news is, Kevin, with Kickstarters, you can't get scammed because you get your money back if they don't make it.
Ah, all right, good.
Kristen Bell, of course, starring as the titular Veronica Mars. The original goal was $2 million. You may remember that they reached that mark in less than 12 hours. Well, checking in on the Kickstarter campaign now, they've just passed the $5 million mark for this feature.
Wow. That's crazy.
That's madness.
So they're going to make two movies?
Nope, just the one. Rob Thomas tweeted yesterday, $5 million. Holy cow. This was my secret dream number that dare not speak its name. Thanks, everyone. What to do with the extra money? Well, Rob says, more backing means more locations, more sets, more actors, and most important of all, more shooting days. So it looks like they're going to be able to make the movie of their dreams, thanks to the fans of Veronica Mars.
But they're going to have to shut off Kickstarter because they'll never be able to quit. They'll just keep getting money and have to keep shooting.
It'll be a movie
that's 4 hours long. Stop sending money.
Well, they had a month period to raise money, and it does stop at the end of that month.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right, good.
Yeah. All right, I guess we go to write a scene that needs 100,000 extras. Got a very way to use some of this money.
Now we got to make the movie in 3D and IMAX. We have too much money for Veronica Mars. Now she has to be Veronica Mars on Mars.
Hey, can we do one of those car chases with 100 cars that get destroyed, please? We've got to spend this money.
We got so much money. Now we finally know with what happened with Jenna Jameson. Remember she had that assault charge that was filed when she was celebrating her birthday?
That was a citizen's arrest, right?
It was a citizen's arrest. Now we've got the details. It was actually her assistant that she beat up.
Oh, no.
A transgender assistant.
Yeah.
Named Brittany Markham. Brittany has now filed a restraining order against Jenna. Reportedly, Jenna barged into a Newport Beach salon and started bitching at Brittany, according to her report, and eventually started punching her in the stomach and back.
Oh, my God.
With the brass knuckles case of her iPhone.
Dude, that sounds serious.
Her iPhone case is brass knuckles. So she took the iPhone case, the brass knuckles, started beating her up in the stomach and back.
What? Wow.
What mistake could that assistant possibly could have made?
I can't imagine.
Was it hot sauce instead of lube in the nightstand? What could have happened to make her so furious? Anyway, it's been decided that prosecutors will not be pressing charges against Jenna in the attack.
Oh, they won't.
Orange County District Attorney's Office has decided there just isn't enough evidence to convict Jameson of battery, so the case is essentially dead, according to law enforcement sources that talk to TMZ.com.
You'd think they'd have plenty of witnesses if it was at a beauty shop.
You would think. But apparently they are concerned
and physical with evidence, too.
Concerned with the quality of their case. So, looks like they're going to drop it.
Got to get one
knuckles,
of those iPhone cases.
Brass knuckles are illegal in California, by the way. However, the defense would be that the brass knuckles are a accessory and not a weapon. So, even though it was weaponized, perhaps it wasn't used for that intent. And Amanda Bynes is coming after me.
Really?
Yep.
You personally?
Well, all of us.
Everybody that's spreading all these lies?
Exactly. She wrote in a lengthy tweet yesterday that I'm suing In Touch, Us Weekly, Perez Hilton for hiring paparazzi who follow me, then take the worst photos with the worst angles.
You can't sue for that.
Apparently she can. She also announced that she is suing everyone who says anything, every blog, every magazine, every news source that's saying I'm doing anything wrong or have erratic behavior. It's
Isn't
not
she
me.
The definition of erratic behavior? What
no,
she's been
doing? Now you're in trouble. Now you're
going
to get sued.
Down.
She vows to sue any news outlet reporting her as exhibiting erratic behavior or claiming she's living her life wrong in any way.
There's never been a more solid citizen, in my opinion.
She is going to go broke suing all these people who says that she's a nut because she's nuts.
She doesn't really understand how the world works, by the way, which is exhibit A to her being a nut.
Well, she knows how to smoke pantless in a gym. That's all I care about.
Right. She's got that down pat.
Oh,
I hope they put her in the Veronica Mars movie.
They can afford her now.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, pretty much just Joss Stone, beautiful singer-songwriter from the UK. She's 26 years old today.
That's it? Really? One celebrity born today? That's insane.
Well, you mocked me when I brought up bassist Dylan Keefe of Marcy
and
Playground.
Should have, but that's it?
Left off.
Filmmaker Vincent Gallo.
Okay,
Actor-filmmaker Vincent Gallo.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Ask Chloe Sevigny who that is.
Okay. Yeah.
That was the actor in that movie we talked about.
The Brown
about,
Bunny, right?
The Brown Bunny, where they were supposed to be, had a scene that involved oral pleasure, and they actually filmed it for real.
Did you see him? Did you see Buffalo 66, Kevin, with Christina Ricci?
I did
that
not.
Was Vincent Gallo also, I think.
But the guy's obsessed with the missed field goal for Buffalo when they were going to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, I remember the movie, but I don't think I saw
it. He's the star of that as well. He's 52 years
old. I don't know. Today. Does that help? I don't think so.
I don't really know. I don't think it really boosts our segment at all. I might have to just go with Joss Stone. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We've had a lot of guests over the years here on the Kevin Amin Show. I don't know that we've ever had one who lost his hand to a seal, but that's going to happen next hour. Poor actor Tony Hale. He's done really well for himself with the one hand. But he, of course, from Veep and Arrested Development, he joins us next hour in studio here on the Kevin Amin Show. Very, very excited. The Arrested Development episodes, by the way, I think debut Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, great.
So we're almost here. After 7 years, it's almost time for new Arrested Development. Can't wait to meet Tony coming up.
All right, I saw a clip online yesterday. I believe it's from the Steve Harvey Show, and I believe it airs today.
All right.
And it's a woman who is telling Steve Harvey that she's turned on by thinking about fried chicken.
Well, women sometimes prefer food over sex. I know that.
No, no. She's. I'll play you the clip.
Okay.
And then we're going to take calls from listeners who have a similar desire or a similar response to inanimate objects.
So you're talking about being turned on
yes.
by something other than a person.
Yes. And when
this isn't. It's not a cucumber. I mean, this isn't something she's using sexually,
right.
physically. It's just in her mind. It's the thought of a thing. She doesn't eat during sex, right? She just
nope.
thinks about chicken and it gets her hot.
She, and you'll hear her say this. She says, if he's not getting the job done, I think about chicken and it's all good.
Wow.
So, isn't that really? Something?
Have you ever heard of that?
No.
No, I never have.
Here's the clip from the show.
Food excites me. And I mean, it excites me. So I look up cheesecakes and cupcakes and those little meringues with the Chantourts and the strawberry shortcakes with the juicy cherries on top. And yeah. that gets me going and gets the tone set up here.
When she says gets the tone set up here, it's in her mind for sex. She's talking about...
Mm-hmm.
Is she a big girl?
Not
particularly.
They only showed her from the waist up from what I saw. So but she might be.
The picture I saw, she did not look fat. And I was surprised by that, too, by the way, because you think that somebody who's thinking about fried chicken as much as she probably
yeah.
is probably would be eating a lot of it, but apparently not.
Then when I get into the bedroom, then I start thinking of my favorite food of all time, which is Popeye's chicken. And let me explain.
Not just chicken, Popeye's.
Got to be Popeye's.
Popeye's fried chicken.
And by the way, I have to endorse that. Popeye's is the best of all the fast food chickens. Okay. Way better than KFC.
Fine,
way better.
You don't use it in the bedroom, right?
Not at all.
All right, even in your mind. Okay, so she goes on to even clarify more.
It gets you so excited that I take that and I put that in that special place in my mind. So if he's not doing what he's supposed to in there, then I start thinking Popeye spicy, Popeye spicy, Popeye spicy. And it just gets me to where I need to be. Is it weird that just the thought of Popeye spicy chicken gets me to climax?
Yes, it is, first of all, but maybe it's not uncommon. That's why we thought it would be interesting to open up the phone lines. 1-800-520-1067. I have no frame of reference whatsoever for having any kind of a sexual turn on for something that's not a person.
Yeah, you, different beautiful people, I imagine, is probably the most used.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, let's say you're having sex with a beast or whatever, and then you're thinking of a Victoria's Secret model. You, mm-hmm. you just picture somebody else, but it's always it's always somebody else. Even for girls, you picture Brad Pitt or whatever, you know.
Gay sex.
Okay, fine.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Now, I wonder, as we wait for your calls to come in, I wonder if other examples of people who have the same thing that this person on the Steve Harvey Show has, I wonder if it's all food related, or can it be anything? I mean, can somebody be turned on by a bicycle or by a fence or by a tree? I mean, can it be anything? Or is there something about food being, you know, maybe the smell of it and it's a sensory experience with the taste of it? I mean, I wonder if that's what leads to that being the item that turns her on.
I don't know. I'm not an expert in orgasm by fried chicken. It seems weird to me. It's not normal to me. It just seems like it's an odd mix.
And it's not a trigger where she was having chicken
right.
at some point and then got busy. It's
she
just...
stores that away in case the guy she's having sex with isn't doing the job.
That's amazing.
And then she pulls out the Popeye's chicken.
By the way, Lisa, that's an excellent point that you brought up, because a lot of times people have associations, particularly with smells, about something that they were doing. You
yeah.
know, they had sex one time and there was a smell going on that was powerful that they now, when they hear that smell, they think of the sex and it turns them on. I mean,
or
that's,
when they
that,
smell the smell.
Sure, that too.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. I guess we'll have to wait till Steve Harvey's show today to find out why the association with fried chicken is so strong for her. But 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Let's take one before the break. I believe we have Tyler calling in on line one, and I think he has something that is non-human that sexually arouses him.
All right, Tyler?
Hi. So my thing is kind of cars.
Cars, okay, I can see that. Guys love cars. Is there a specific one that gets the job done?
Not really. More like just like supercars. So maybe like a Lamborghini or Ferrari. Like something up there. Like just like thinking about it. I don't know.
Really, you can just think. You don't have to be around them. You can just be thinking about it.
And it's arousing.
Yeah. And it's physically arousing.
Physically arousing in the sense that if I'm thinking about like the car and like the lines of it, if I were like to drive it. I don't know. I just get, like, a sensation.
So all you right. drive yeah. your lady, basically?
Yeah. You get Woody. I got it. Now, have you ever, have you used that? Like this woman on the Steve Harvey show thinks about the fried chicken during sex to enhance that experience. Do you find your mind wandering and thinking about cars during sex sometimes?
Not often, but maybe like once or twice if I'm like bored or something.
Oh, yeah. Just like that, Lamborghini. You ever say that out loud?
Do I say that out loud?
Yeah.
No, not really. I feel like she'd kind of be weirded out.
Well, how weird would That's it be for her to find out, by the way, that you're thinking about a car while you guys are having sex? That's funny.
All right. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. What is it that you've got stored away in the back of your mind that when the job is not being done correctly, you're able to draw upon? That's not a human being. 1-800-520-1067.
So Christina, our new favorite person in the world, is a guest on the Steve Harvey syndicated television show today, talking to Steve about her love for Popeye's fried chicken. Not to eat, just to fantasize about during sex.
Food and apparently that excites me. And I mean, it excites me. So I look up cheesecakes and cupcakes and those little meringues with the Chantourts and the strawberry shortcakes with the juicy cherries on top. And that gets me going and gets the tone set up here. Then when I get into the bedroom, then I start thinking of my favorite food of all time.
This is where she pulls out the big guns.
Which is Popeye's chicken.
Yeah.
Let me explain. It gets you so excited that I take that and I put that in that special place in my mind. So if he's not doing what he's supposed to in there, then I start thinking Popeye spicy, Popeye spicy, Popeye spicy. And it just gets me to where I need to be.
She says that helps her have an orgasm. For
Who's
real.
Hungry?
I'm getting some chicken today.
That's what she says.
I was
wondering if she tells her man about this, but it doesn't matter because now she has because she's done it on national TV. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067, talking about inanimate objects, non-human items that get you excited. So let's see. Let's go to Adriana. She's on line one. Let's find out what another woman is thinking about.
Hey, Adriana.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
It's very fancy cigarettes. Growing up, I was never allowed to even consider the thought of smoking. And now that I'm an adult, whenever I feel like being naughty in my head, I grab a cigarette, I light it, I smoke it slowly, and it turns me on and makes me want to
call
my husband.
Got it. So now, it's just the allure probably of something you weren't allowed when you were younger, right?
And you know what? I have to have bright red lipstick. It's just holding it in a very classy way and just, I don't know, it's weird.
If you see somebody smoking, does it kind of do it too?
Oh, God, no. No, 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 no.
Really?
No, like Mad Men would make you nuts if that were true.
If I see someone smoking, it's just a bad thing. But just whenever I crave a naughtiness?
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
You put on lipstick, you get a fancy cigarette.
Bright red lipstick, and it makes me think of this 40s style with the cigarette holders, mm-hmm. and it has to be some sort of like Capri Menthol really thin cigarette, and I just feel very classy and at the same naughty.
Might it have to do with the fact that your husband's wiener is about that size?
Oh, wow. Kevin, why are you come at her like that?
Oh, I'm just asking.
No.
All right.
Adriana,
I'm just kidding.
You know, the one thing you haven't said yet that I'm interested in is asking if you smoke.
No, only when I crave that powerful sensation of being bad and smoking a cigarette.
So your husband comes home and sees you smoking. He knows it's on. Right? Oh, yeah, she's got a cigarette. What?
He doesn't know that I do that.
Can we call him?
I don't think that's necessary. All right, thank you for the call, Adriana. We appreciate it. Wow, she really described that, and I hate smoking, and it sounded good. All right, let's go to Damon. Damon is on line two, talking about inanimate objects that turn you on. Damon, thank you for calling and holding, and welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show.
Thanks, guys. Hello, Lisa May.
Hello.
What you guys are talking about is called paraphilia.
Paraphilia.
Okay.
It's paraphilia, and it's the sexual attraction to objects,
okay.
whatever it may be. Mine in particular is tighty-whities.
Tighty-whities.
On a guy. I'm gay. Mm-hmm. I'm totally cool. I'm gay. I like guys in that most basic white trash underwear, either them in the underwear or the underwear itself is a total.
Okay, now let me see.
Just the underwear itself without them is a turn on?
Yeah, like, sure, if I want, you know, if it's hot for me, if, you know, I've actually, if I hooked up with a guy, I'll ask for his underwear and keep it.
That's so weird, because, you know, guys kind of get turned on by women's underwear sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course. Yeah, I mean, that makes more sense than the fried chicken lady. I mean, I'm not sure if they have different names or not, but at least the underwear is something that is kind of incorporated into sex, something that you can play with or something you can take on or put on or whatever. But the fried chicken, at least it sounded like from the clip we heard from that show, doesn't have anything to do with anything other than in her mind in the bedroom. That seems different to me.
But that's where it all starts. It can be fried chicken or balloons. Remember that guy who rolled around in balloons?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But he physically was touching balloons, though, and that was a sexual act for him with the balloons. The fried chicken lady is just in her mind. She doesn't incorporate food in the bedroom at all.
Well, it would be so messy. I mean, can you imagine the crumbles of fried chicken in your bed and what your sheets would look like?
That seems bad. Yeah.
Come on, man. You're getting me turned on. Stop it.
I'm sorry. Fried chicken.
All right, David. Thank you very much for the call, and thanks a lot for listening. All right, so we'll just leave it there and say please enjoy, I guess. Tony Hale from the TV show Veep and, of course, Arrested Development joins us in the 8 o'clock hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we'll give you another chance to win your way into Coachella, weekend number 2 of Coachella, and access to the K-Rock Coachella house before the end of the show. It is Thursday morning, time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
Let me make a note here. Need new internet roundup theme song. We keep an eye on the internet so you don't have to, and compile all the best viral videos of the week in one handy-dandy spot at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. Some of them we don't have great audio to play for you, but they're awesome videos to watch. For instance, the guy, Lisa, have you seen this one? The guy who's watching a baseball game at home, and his dog loves to chase balls. So the ball is pitched toward the batter, and they're showing it on TV, and the dog jumps up and leaps for the television and knocks it off the stand.
Oh, my God.
Trying to catch a ball on TV. It's unbelievable.
That's awesome.
And the guy sitting on the couch just has phenomenal reflexes to jump up and catch it before it catches the ground. I never would have been able to do that.
I'm not positive. I think I have a clip of that.
Okay.
I think I do. Here we go.
Okay. All right.
Oh, Millie! Oh.
There you go. That's the clip.
Well, that's why we don't play
did
it.
Did that help?
Also, not a bit. Also, we made fun a lot of One Shining Moment, the song that CBS plays at the end of the men's college basketball championship, and somebody has done an edit of that with clips from the movie The Shining, which makes it completely different. That's in the Internet Roundup. You got to check that out, too. All right. First up, though, on the ones we want to play for you, here's a woman who's just shooting out her window at her house, and she sees a raccoon walking across a phone wire. His little feet are on the bottom wire. His top feet are hanging onto the top wire. He's making his way across these wires. It's like some sort of a circus act or something, and she does the most hilarious play-by-play of it.
That's the raccoon walking from one side to one side using the telephone and the electricity pole. Very, very clever, hey?
I love her. I want her to do play-by-play for the Dodgers. I want her to do play-by-play for CNN debates. I just love her so much. All right, here's one of those great behind-the-scenes videos. FHM Magazine did a photo shoot with the UFC girls, Ariana Celeste and Brittany Palmer, and they're very close, and they love each other, and I love them.
There's some licking going on, I'll be honest.
Hi, I'm Ariana Celeste, and I'm Brittany Palmer, and welcome to our behind-the-scenes video.
Sounds like a 70s porn, doesn't it?
Yes.
It sure does. That alone justifies the internet existing, by the way. You should definitely check that out in the all-new Internet Roundup. This one's called Extreme Video Puzzle, and the guys who made this kind of let you in on how difficult it was to get it worked out. I think they did over 100 takes before they got it right. But what they did is they set up an array of screens. What does it look like to you, Kevin? Like 10 or 12 different computer screens, right? Yeah. Laptops, iPads, desktops. And they have all these YouTube videos going on, kind of one right after another, playing in order, and it's just all brilliantly choreographed. They call it the Extreme Video Puzzle, and it is crazy to see. Like, why would they do this? I don't know, but it's certainly worth it.
What's happening?
What's up?
What's happening?
What's up?
What's happening?
What's up?
What's happening?
what's funny is how long that must have taken.
Yes.
And at the end of it, it's a great video, but it's just a video.
It's not that great.
No, I mean, it's impressive, but how much time must it have taken? Like Bean said, they must have done it hundreds of times.
Each, well, you can hear them slating and on the video thing, take 98. Oh. Each one of those little sounds that you heard is from a different YouTube video playing on a different screen. It's just insane. It's almost like you set up a, like a light show on Christmas lights is what it looks like. All right, one of the big pop songs right now is my girlfriend Taylor Swift. Her latest hit, probably going to go to number one, is called 22. We'll play a piece of that, and then we'll hear the parody that somebody made of a more realistic 32. Here's the original from Taylor first.
Tadoff Swindler, by the way. Yes. Back to you.
Taylor Swift, who's awesome, and that's a song about how awesome it is to be 22 and just go out and just party your ass off and just have fun with your friends. But unfortunately, when you're 32, then the fun changes a little bit, as we hear in this video.
Uh-oh, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 32. Had goals when I was younger, now I don't give a hoot. You don't know about me, cause I'm a recluse. I'll just put on some sweatpants and keep on.
Well, you can face it.
Life's pretty much over when you're 32. There's nothing fun to look forward to anymore, apparently.
It doesn't get better.
I don't care how old you are listening to this show right now. Your best days are already behind you. I'm sorry to tell you. Seth Rogen does a very funny Funny or Die video where he's involved in a big charity that raises a lot of money. And then he gets the realization that now he's done his good deed for his life and he can go out and just do terrible, terrible things. This is Seth Rogen, the worst person in the world.
I didn't know you were the charitable type.
I'm not normally. So, yeah.
You really aren't.
No.
You can be a
I can.
Sometimes. Yeah, but now you don't have to do anything good for the whole rest of your life.
It's a good point.
I'm just kidding.
It's a good point, though.
So he goes out and stops cleaning up after his dog, and he shoplifts, and he just does all sorts of awful things. It's very, very funny. All right, our friends from Epic Mealtime, who, by the way, made an awesome video with us for April Foolishness, and thanks again to those guys for that. These are the guys who have a cooking show, even though they're not cooks, and they take the craziest ingredients you can think of, and they make the biggest food in the world. Lisa May, they made a 100-pound chocolate bar.
Oh, my God. Where was I?
They went out and took hundreds and hundreds of Hershey's bars and Reese's bars and Mars bars and any kind of candy you can imagine, and they baked it all together in one chocolate bar. Guess how many calories in this chocolate bar?
Oh.
Over 100.
167,000 calories in this chocolate bar. It's unbelievable, and you will crave chocolate so bad when you see this video. Here's a little bit of Epic Mealtime.
That's over 300 chocolate bars. You know how many trick-or-treaters you need to rob to get over 300 chocolate bars? We start by dicing up some bacon and pour into our bacon-infused nougat. Eat enough of that, and you'll have a new gut.
Get it? Nougat? Nougat?
Looks like that tasty glue I used to eat as a kid. Smells like success, though. Slice it open packs of those Hershey's.
Those guys are crazy. And it's worth checking out for the model who eats the chocolate bar. And finally, our friend Jimmy Kimmel. As you know, every week he does a feature called This Week in Unnecessary Censorship. He takes real-life news off the TV and beeps it. It doesn't need beeping. They're not saying anything dirty, but he sure makes it sound that way.
This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
We have major news to report. President Obama's trying to his own.
This coach was up and now he's fired.
And it goes on and on and on. That's a
you
funny
can
video.
See all those videos and all the past ones we've done at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. That's a brand new internet roundup.
Kevin and Bean, internet roundup.
I am giving you a heads up, Ralph, that you're going to have to be extra strong tomorrow on the show because Kevin is going to be at the K-Rock Coachella house broadcasting his part live.
I don't feel so good.
I will be as sharp as ever.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's what we're worried about.
Maybe sharper.
As you know, weekend number one of Coachella starts tomorrow, and then weekend number two is the one we're giving away tickets for today, and we'll have those for you.
Yeah,
between
hi, this is David Hasselhoff.
Hey,
listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't have to go down anywhere. You can just go online at Ticketmaster.com and buy tickets for weekend number two.
Yeah,
those
where
are
where can I get them? I mean, they're like, right, ticket, where is there...
There's a Ticketmaster. It's
Ticket,
a
just Ticketmaster. Yeah, just a, online. Yeah,
you do it online. You don't even have to leave your house.
Jeff, can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something?
No,
or can I just go down there? Because
no, don't just go
you
there.
You know what? Just go down there. No, don't do that.
Yeah, and where do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available? Do you know?
Couldn't tell you. Probably not this close to the show.
You know what
I
do? I would check Marriott.com.
Major fan of K-Rock. I love to introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Well, they're playing Sunday night, so you can. All right.
How far is festival from the Marriott Palm Desert? You know?
8 feet. 8 feet away.
And when does the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
Well, sure. Depends who you want to see.
The
noon is when they start.
Up.
Yeah,
the set list.
Go to Kerrock.com and see the set list. Sure.
You know the Hoff loves to rock.
All right, thank you, Hoff. Actor Tony Hale from Arrested Development and Veep. Man, is he great on both those shows! And he joins us in studio coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's got the show. Speak good morning, Ralph.
Hoff's got a little Kevin going on him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Hoff loves to rock.
How dare you?
I'd love to introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
He does slow it down to make sure he can say it.
Definitely overcompensating for a little, in my opinion. Speaking of opinions, a website called SexTracker.com, alongside XCritic.com and Vivid Entertainment, they posted up the question online, what actress or actor would you most like to see in a celebrity sex tape? If there was a sex tape, you could just pull Genie out of her bottle and just have her blink it into existence. You could just make it happen by wanting it to be so.
Kate Upton.
What actor or actress would you love to see? Well, sure. I mean, Kate has a long, lustrous career in film and television. We'd love to see her in it. But
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No man made the list.
Oh, okay.
Interestingly enough, when they asked this question. Any guesses as to who got 22% of the vote? That was the largest percentage.
Angelina Jolie?
No. Mm-mm, not in the top three.
Oh, really?
Jennifer Aniston?
Jennifer Aniston was third with 15% of the vote.
Hmm.
Celebrity you'd want to see in a sex tape.
Who's the girl?
Rihanna?
No. These are actors and actresses.
Oh, okay.
Margaret Cho?
Yes. Oddly enough, Margaret Cho was number one, Kevin.
Demi Lovato.
No, he wasn't in the top five.
Sofia Vergara.
No, that would be my pick, by the way. If I had to pick one, I'd pick that.
Yeah, that's a good guess.
The minute I read this question, I said to me, what?
Sound down.
I love her accent. It's so hot and adorable.
Yeah, most of the time.
Oh, you're high.
It gets screechy.
There's nothing wrong with her.
Make her yell at you and you'll be fine.
A little screechy.
Nothing!
All right. Okay.
Two names popped into my head immediately when I read that question. Sofia Vergara.
Uh-huh.
Christina Hendricks from Mad Men.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. That would be unbelievable.
And neither of those are in the top three?
No.
Who was she's ridiculous. I can't think of her name. She used to be with Justin Timberlake. He grabbed her boobs on the MTV Awards.
Jessica Biel?
No. Just before her, I think.
Just before her.
Mila Kunis.
Mila Kunis.
That has to be number one.
That would be a good choice, too.
Wouldn't mind seeing that.
Not in the top three.
What are we missing?
Anne Hathaway got 17% of the vote.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
What? Wait, what?
Because she's so clean.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe they want to see her get dirty.
Is that top three, or you just
said this is the top three. Jennifer Aniston was third. Anne Hathaway was second.
What? Bogus.
I don't know.
Look, the people have spoken here.
Jessica Alba.
No.
Jessica Biel.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence, 22% of the vote. I'd like to see her most in a
I can see that. Yeah.
In a celebrity sex tape.
But not over Kate Upton.
Other names, the top vote getters, Miley Cyrus.
No.
Halle Berry, Jennifer Lopez, and Lindsay Lohan, according to the survey. No male actors were represented in the poll. However, you'd be happy to know that Django Unchained did win out over Lincoln as mainstream film most like to see turn into a porn parody. So maybe we'll get... I can't say it. I was going to say something about Django Unchained. I was going to make up a title, and I couldn't say the title that came to my head. Very frustrating. Doesn't happen in Hollywood Babylon. Talking about uncensored, raw comedy. You can see me and Kevin Smith do our Hollywood Babylon show this Saturday night down there in Long Beach. We're coming to you, Long Beach. You were so nice to us a couple months ago. We're going to be at the Laugh Factory there in Long Beach. You can go to their website or csmod, SEESMOD.com if you want to get tickets to Saturday night show. It'll be fun. I think Hasselhoff will be there. Hasselhoff's going to be there.
Yeah, but where can I get them? That's I mean, they're like, where is Laugh, is there?
Laughfactory.com.
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there?
Just go down there. Just go down there. How about Point Break, the remake?
Woo!
You ready?
No one really wants that.
Come on, Point Break. Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze.
That was pretty terrific in his cheesiness. I don't know. That scares
me. Utah, get me two. The super cheesy, much derided 1991 action thriller is getting remade. They just named their director. It's a guy named Erickson Cole. Erickson Core, by the way. Not Cole at all. Erickson Core.
Okay.
He's going to be the director. He's a cinematographer before this. This is his debut. No, I'm sorry. Invincible was his debut. So, yeah, he's bringing it back.
Have you read that story yet?
I have.
Okay, just checking.
He will be directing. No word yet on who will be cast as Johnny Utah and Bodie.
That's going to be a tough one to pull off. That's one of the worst best ever.
It's loved because it's horrible.
Yes.
And I don't know how you get any better than that.
You make it better, then you don't care about it.
If you get any better, it's just eh.
Right.
Can't make it any worse, probably.
Right.
So you lose that, and it probably won't be great. I don't know. We'll see what happens. David King of Mexico is a big disappointment.
Is he?
On every level.
Normally, I know that's the case.
But you know,
why
he puts
today?
Down this birthday list for me, right?
Right.
That's what he does. Oh, no birthdays today, he says to me as he hands me the list with Vincent Gallo, Dylan Keefe of Marcy Playground, and Joss Stone on it. So I said, you know what? That seems fishy to me. I mean, most days of the year, if you look up birthdays, you'll find at least a couple big names.
Because there are a lot of celebrities.
And a lot of people are born every day.
Right. Right.
So I did a little research. Let me come up with some names that I came across.
Okay.
Actress Jennifer Esposito from Blue Bloods.
All right.
Other projects, 40 years old. Actress Tricia Helfer.
Oh,
my God.
How about Caprica 6 from Battlestar Galactica?
A little love for her.
39 years old today. How about Alessandra Ambrosio?
What?
JK.
32 years old today.
It's not my fault.
Oh, my God.
Wow, what happened to your microphone?
Why are you talking through a bullhorn from the parking lot?
You just sound like Star Trek going through an asteroid belt or something like that. When he says not...
Stop doing that. It's like I'm on Southland. He's still looking for Cooper. He's been abducted.
When he says not my fault, he's the one that puts together the birthdays, right?
Yeah. There's no one else's fault it could be other than him.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
just checking.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We haven't even introduced the man on the radio yet. You're already berating him for having a poor work ethic. What's going on here, Kevin? Let's at least give him a warm K-Rock welcome. Tony Hale, ladies and gentlemen, is here from Veep. Veep, returning HBO this Sunday night, and of course, Arrested Development on Netflix starting at the end of May. How are you, Tony? Welcome to the show, my friend.
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Now, our conversation was Veep had how many episodes last season?
Last season we had 8, and this season we got 10.
Wow. And how long has it been since it's aired? Almost a year?
Yeah, it's been almost a year because we aired last April. So this is, it only airs because we do 10, so it lasts about 2.5 months when it airs.
So my response to that was a weak work ethic.
Yeah, I hate to side with Kevin, but I think he has a point that you're barely working, Tony.
I mean, seriously,
8 episodes is not really a season as much as it is a marathon.
Oh my gosh. As an actor, we're all desperate for gigs. We would do 15 in a second.
Well, we got so much we want to talk to you about in the time that we have. Let's start with Veep because that is coming back first this Sunday night. First of all, hilarious concept for a show. For folks who haven't watched it yet, Julia Louis-Dreyfus plays the Vice President of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I guess stuff like this probably really does go on. Of course, it's amplified for comedy. But the Vice Presidency is just one of those jobs that seems like you would have a lot of power, but you really have nothing to do, right?
I know. He's kind of in second place. She's kind of in second place. But what I love about it is, you know, especially coming from an election year, you hear all these, you know, perfect sound bites and all these kind of posturing and stuff. And I love that we kind of go behind the scenes because these people have to freak out.
Yeah, you would think, right?
You know, they're huge pressure containers for a lot of stuff. And you know they got to go behind the scenes and just lose it. And I love that it kind of shows that humanity of it. I mean, we take it to the extreme, but...
And I love what Julia...
I don't know how extreme you take it to. I mean,
that's true.
Through the
that's
years,
true.
You could look at certain vice presidential you know, and just freak out about the stuff that must have gone on.
But just humanity. I mean, these people have, they're humans.
Right.
So they have to lose it behind the scenes, you know?
Right. And Julia made a great point in one of her interviews recently where she said that you have to be an incredibly ambitious person to end up as vice president, yet it's not a job that anybody wants. Nobody grows up going, I really want to be the vice president one day. So you actually have not accomplished anything close to what you want, but that's the job you have.
Totally. Totally.
Now, let's talk about Gary. Let's talk about you.
Oh, because poor Gary. Poor Gary.
Gary is he's the weak link in the vice presidential staff, right?
Well, she's his everything. You know, I don't think he doesn't even really have an identity. She's his identity.
Which is a little scary.
Oh, so sad. Yeah. He would do anything for her. I mean, she could leave her job and start working for Dairy Queen and he'd be by her side.
He'd still assist her.
He just worships her.
But he's not exactly good at his job.
Efficient, right.
Yeah, he's definitely, because he carries around this bag, so he has anything that she needs. And I think he's very efficient. Like, he's probably sewn 50 pockets in that bag because he wants to be very organized. And whatever's in the bag, he's probably got Costco versions of it at home. Because, you know, God forbid he runs out. So, you know, he's just, I mean, the thought of her being upset at him is just, you know, emotional suicide. So he'll do whatever it takes.
And by the way, she screams at him all the time. I mean,
all the time.
If that's his worst fear is realized because she's always mad at him because he's never doing what she wants him to do.
Yeah, but he doesn't hear that.
No.
He hears encouraging words. He hears, you know.
He's like a puppy.
He hears chicken soup for the soul. Like, he doesn't hear that at all.
This Julia Louis-Dreyfus is amazing to me because she's, I mean, she's one of the great comedic actresses of all time. I mean, she, for God's sake, she's won an Emmy playing the title role in three shows in a row. I mean, that just shows you how great she is. But tell me what it's like working with her, because I sense that you guys must improv on this show too, right?
We do. We do. We actually spend about 2 or 3 weeks of rehearsal before the show, which is very unusual for TV. And that's a time where we just kind of play and improv and come up with stuff. And what's great about Julia and Armando Iannucci created the show, there's no ego. There's, you know, everybody just kind of wants the best show. And, you know, in this business, as I'm sure you know, there's a tremendous amount of ego sometimes. And she's just normal. Like, we all just come together and play and have fun. And
she doesn't have an Emmy necklace?
She does have an Emmy necklace. That is true. She has a keychain with her other Emmy, and then she's got a necklace and a bracelet.
Is it true that you guys heard in some way from the funniest vice president in recent history, Joe Biden, that he is actually a fan of the show?
Yeah. He's got a great sense of humor. He called Julia just to congratulate. It was kind of, he apologized because it was late, but he said, I apologize for not calling sooner, just to congratulate her on her Emmy and, you know, just saying how, you know, great she is. And he's very, very cool. Great sense of humor.
Did you ask him who the U is of the White House?
I did. I didn't talk to him. I would have liked to talk. But I did go to, when we first shot the show, I went to D.C. and we got to meet kind of the people that were in our roles. And I met the guy who was the body man to one of the presidents. And, like, he had no life, you know, for 2 or 3 years in his 20s, no life. But the thing is, you typically leave that job like he did and go on to other stuff. However, Gary has stayed into his 40s because he will not leave. He will stay.
And he doesn't get burned out either.
No,
he has
of course
endless
not.
Energy.
Of course not. His extra time is at cat shelter. So it's all about Selena.
I love this is the voice of actor Tony Hale here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about Veep, which returns HBO this Sunday night. I love the pecking order in Washington of the vice president. Sounds like it would be impressive because you're a heartbeat away, you know, from the most powerful office in the world. But you guys get nothing but dumped on, it seems like, particularly from those like Jonah on the show, played by Timothy Simons, who works for the White House. Yeah, he's an intern at the White House. Basically, he's the liaison to your office. But he does, every single time he walks in the door, he comes up with new ways to insult you guys because you're working for the vice president. And it's hilarious.
Which is obviously stretching the truth because that would never fly. But, man, he's so mean to Gary. He's mean to Selena. I mean, that guy would be fired in a second, you know.
I hope.
But, exactly. Well, here's hoping.
Who knows? Seriously, who knows what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's the thing. But, I mean, that's what I do love, that it kind of – I mean, obviously it's a satire, but I love showing that humanity of things, because we're so – everybody's so used to putting these people on huge pedestals, which, you know, obviously we have to give them respect, and huge respect, because I know I wouldn't want to do it. But also we have to give them their humanity.
You know? Watch right. them in the debates or something like that, and they almost seem like robots.
Yeah.
Like it's the same – they know the answer.
Yeah.
Their
yep.
countenance
yeah,
never changes. It's yeah, just totally. – there's not a real person there. So
yeah, and it's also – there's a fear on their part that if I say something, because we've seen it, it can totally turn.
Yep. All
totally
the time.
Turn, because we're a huge judgmental society. We'll be like, how could he do that? Because he's human.
Right.
He made a mistake.
And I also love one of the episodes. I can't remember what happened to the president, but there was a brief health scare. And Selena, it occurs to her, oh, my God, how fast does your world change when literally you don't know if in an hour or in a day you're going to be the president. That must just be something that a real vice president just carries around with him all the time.
And there is a scene that when Jonah comes up to Julia, Selena, and says, so the president, there's been a health scare. And you can see on Selena's face, she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. But she's so excited.
But this is my big break.
This is my time. And then she gets in the room, and of course it was like gas or something on the president's part. And she was so upset, and then she had to go back to like going to a yogurt shop and visiting some people. She was like, oh, come on.
Well, for folks who haven't seen this show, by the way, please do not be scared off by the fact that it's set in the world of politics, because, Tony, you'll back me up on this. It's the least political show on the air, right?
It's
it has nothing to do with politics.
It's all about just human behavior with a ton of pressure
around
it.
I hate, and ignore politics and love the show.
Oh, good. I actually, I subscribe to The Week. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it. It's like a magazine. It kind of gives Cliff Note versions
right.
of politics, because it's just too much information. I just can't.
I can't get through The Week.
I can't get
if
through
that tells
yeah,
you
exactly.
anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's play a clip before we take a break. Tony Hale is here on The Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about Veep, but I think, now, Kevin, is this a scene from this weekend, or is this a past scene? Do we know what
I
we have here?
I don't know. We'll have Tony
I bet
tell
it's
us.
Funny, though.
Am I all packed, Gary?
Yeah, we're all covered. See, the thing about Ohio is the weather is completely schizophrenic.
I know.
I mean, we dress you wrong, and you're either freezing like a popsicle or you're sweating like a hog. Or a ballerina or a modern dancer.
Okay, it's fine.
I mean, that's a perfect example of how Gary insults the vice president without trying to, she is so irritated with him.
Oh, so irritated. And the terror in Gary, the fact that he said that, it's like, I got to turn this around. I got to bring up a modern dancer, ballerina. You're beautiful.
I'm
going to
make
you.
Up for it.
Does it bother you, Tony? This I apologize if this is a delicate question. That
no.
you often get cast in roles like this rather than, I'm sure there are times where you're strong and manly, but we don't often see you like that on our TVs.
It doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't bother me at all. I mean, I mean, obviously this character and the character I played in Arrested, Buster Bluth, I would say they're probably some of the most emasculated men I've ever met in my life.
Right.
But it's fun. Like, they're also very vulnerable. And I mean, Buster is definitely not necessarily with us. Gary on Veep is, for instance, like, there was one time where Gary took what he called as a sneeze bullet. He blocked some germs in front of her, which was a very exciting day for him because he thought he took a bullet for the Veep. And Buster would not only not do that for his mother, he would like have a mask on to cover any germs. Like,
yeah,
he would
right.
be in the corner rocking.
That's so it's not going to be you as an action star anytime soon?
we just don't know.
Okay.
We'll see.
Well, I'm just impressed that in real life you were able to meet a woman and get married and have a child.
Thank you.
I mean,
thank
like a regular person.
Because
you do seem functionally retarded whenever I see you on TV. So I'm actually very impressed to
that
meet you.
That is true. That's true.
All right.
Yeah, however, Gary's got a little love interest this year.
Nice.
That causes some tension with Selena.
And it's not Selena.
Wow,
that's surprising.
He wishes it was Selena.
Right, of course.
Sunday night at 10 on HBO is when Veep returns, and we'll talk Arrested Development and more with our guest Tony Hale right after this on The Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Our guest is actor Tony Hale, probably best known for playing Dr. Bronin on that one episode of Dawson's Creek back in 2001. But you were very good in that, Tony.
Thank you.
Was he manly? Were you manly?
That was probably the closest I've come to manly in a character.
You might recognize him from Mr. Roboto as well.
Yeah.
From the VW commercial.
Not too manly, but yeah.
Of course, we started out talking about Tony's current series, which is called Veep, coming back this Sunday night on HBO. And before that, he was in a little show we like to call Arrested Development. Why do we like to call it that? Because that was its name. Did you try, from the time Arrested Development left the air, hard to believe, 7 years ago, was that the goal always to get back on another show? Is that why Veep was so awesome for you, Tony?
Wait, was that the goal to well,
to get another series? Is that what you wanted to do? Was another TV series?
Yeah, it always comes. I mean, how can I pay the mortgage? And but yeah, I think what I love about television is there's some sense of kind of a steady gig, and I, you know, thankfully I'm on a show that I really loved, like I did Arrested Development, you know, so it's nice to have that.
What was it like for you guys back when Arrested Development was on the air and got canceled after only three seasons? It was so beloved by so many people. It's not as many as love it now. People have discovered it in the years since. But was it so frustrating knowing what great work you guys were doing and having it not reflect in the ratings?
Honestly, we were never really great in the ratings the whole time. Which was
baffling.
We always kind of were always on the bubble. And we were like, so we just kind of like, you know what, let's just make the most of it because we never knew if we were going to come back the next year.
Didn't you feel inside like maybe my compass is off because I feel like we're doing a great show,
and there was critical acclaim.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. That's what must have just been so frustrating. Is you knew it was a good show. Why weren't people watching? I mean, I would be hitting myself in the head every day trying to answer that question.
I think I honestly that was my first big gig after because I did commercials for 8 years in New York, and so it was my first big gig. So I didn't really know what. Was going. I didn't know what to expect, and so I was just more like, I can't believe I'm here. So I was kind of. But I think a lot of it was we really just tried to enjoy it, and because we genuinely, it was the fans and the critics that kept it alive. I mean, that was definitely right. What kept us going. So
I saw the pilot for Arrested Development because they're on TV all the damn time now. And I saw the pilot. It just happened to come up in rotation just a couple of weekends ago on Sundance or whoever airs it. And I couldn't believe, because I hadn't seen it in a while, how great that show was out of the box. It's like it's not like it took time to gel. It started off with everybody having their crazy characters in check.
It was, Mitch Hurwitz created it. And he's one of those guys that, you know, I think the word genius is kind of thrown around a lot in Hollywood. But he's definitely got a touch of it because what comes out of his head, he's got this like comic matrix in his mind. And it's just, we didn't really even want to improv in that show because anything that he wrote down, it was just, he had this puzzle worked out. And you just followed it and just trusted him and rode the wave. And it was awesome.
It's so weird because every actor that talks to us about doing a show, it's all about the fun of improvising. First, you shoot what you have to.
Yeah.
And then you improv. But it's the opposite for
it was the opposite because, show. I mean, because Veep, we do a lot of improv. But Mitch, we just knew that he was just this kind of scientist behind the things. And he knew where it was going. Like when my hand came off by a seal.
Obviously.
A typical storyline.
Sure.
When my hand was bitten off.
That happened on The West Wing, too. You guys remember that episode? It was weird.
It was such a popular episode. Allison Janney's hand. But when my hand came off, it was, at the time it was like, wait a second, you know, my hand to come off? And I was a little bit like, all right. I mean, excited, but kind of wondering where that was going to go. But then when I watched again, you saw there was all these hand things happening way episodes back that he knew all along my hand was coming off. Uh-huh. And it's just like everything somehow, so you never really questioned it. And you just kind of trusted the way that he wanted to do things, which was
How'd
awesome.
You end up doing with a hook? Pretty good?
Great. Loved it. And it was, what was sad is Buster, you know, for those who remember, he really enjoyed giving massages to people, shoulder massages. So when a hook came into play, that was not. And then he had kind of like a ghost hand. He forgot he had a hook. And he would make people bleed.
Good times. Sad. Now, how many episodes? They're supposed to. It started at 13 and went to 14. Now it's 15. Is that right?
Yeah.
For the new season?
For the new season, yeah. We started. I think we started actually at 10.
Oh, okay.
And then it kind of kept getting bigger, and now it's 15. And so,
can you do 20?
Sure. Bring it.
Just it's not possible to have enough of that show. It's so great.
It was so. I mean, I tell you, I just feel very thankful because it's one of those shows that when people always ask me, does it bother you when people come up and talk to you about the show? It doesn't because I don't have that great of a memory because I rewatched it when we did the new season. But I love to hear, I love to talk about it because I'm a fan of the show. And so, and I forget stuff. They're like, do you remember when you did this? And I'm like, I don't, but that's hilarious.
Tony, I was going to ask how long did it take before people started bugging you about making new episodes once the show went off the air? But I imagine it was instant because there were certainly a hardcore group of people who didn't want to see it go. So for years, people have been coming up to you and saying, why don't you guys do more Arrested Developments? And did you think it would one day happen, or is this as big as a surprise to you as it is to the rest of us?
I don't know. There was a part of me that Well, when we finished, we actually thought we might have been going to a different network. So we didn't, you know, even then we were like, I don't know. Like Scrubs did, right. Yeah, so we didn't really know. And then the rumors flew about a movie, and it was kind of, it kind of kept it alive. You know, it wasn't necessarily a thing that was annoying. It was like, it was kind of fun to keep that, you know, dream alive, really. And we never knew if it was going to happen. Then it kind of materialized.
And was part of the problem that guys like Jason Bateman and Michael Cera and Portia de Rossi all went on to do so many other things that it was a question of scheduling at some point,
yeah,
right?
I think it was a question of scheduling. And I think that's also one of the reasons they did it the way they did on Netflix, is because each episode is around one character. And then you kind of hear what's happened to these characters, and we kind of come in between everybody else's episodes, little bits, but there's, but each episode is just about one character. So you, so it was hard to schedule everybody all together.
What do you think of the idea of Netflix releasing them all at once rather than parsing them out an episode a week or something?
I think it's great because I, from what I've heard, again, it's so sad because people do have these questions for me, and I have no idea what the hell's going on with the show because I would
you should
read,
check.
I would read the script and still be confused.
Oh.
And just kind of like, you know, just because he's – I can't wait to see it, how he worked it out. But from what I've heard, it's, which sounds really fun, it's good that they're all airing at once because – something, when something happens on an episode with a character, it'll cut to something else, but then on another episode, you see where that character went. So it's like this. So
he's
puzzle.
Keeping track of yeah. all of the characters sort of at the same time?
Sort of at the same time.
That seems impossible.
I know. And that's why you just kind of sit back and I'm like, all right, go for it. I don't know what you're doing.
But we
but
like
it's
it.
Gonna be I'm excited to see it.
Now, when does the movie come out? Do we have any idea on that?
I don't. I think it, now it's really he's really focused on, you know, obviously the
series,
episodes.
Right.
He's kind of in editing world right now. And then, you know, hopefully after that. But I have heard that this is the first act to the movie, so there's a lot of obviously
at least a year though they're saying right
I would
you
think,
have to have
yeah.
time to write and
I'm the worst
you have to make it
for the stuff.
For starters
we thought you'd have some information.
No, I don't.
I apologize.
Why did we bring him on?
I'm just worried about, maybe you can make some phone calls to people who know some information, Tony. I'm just worried about the productivity of America when 15 episodes of Arrested Development are available on Netflix. I think that Memorial Day weekend is going to come and go, and then it's going to be like a ghost town. It's going to be like a zombie invasion. Nobody's going to show up for work because everybody's going to be home.
Well, I've heard they're going to release it right at midnight on Saturday night. I've heard this. So it'll be, so maybe it's that Sunday people will kind of dive into it. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I can't really. I mean, the thing that I, because I'm not one that kind of binge watches. I like kind of watching a couple episodes and then mm-hmm. doing something else. But I do like the idea of being able to kind of see where other characters, so I can see how you'd get into, you want to know which direction that went. So then you go to somebody else's other character episode to see where it went. Mm-hmm. I like that idea.
Well, and it's a half hour, so it's not that hard to
exactly.
put in two or three episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
But then again, Lisa, it's like, to me, it's like a, and I'm not trying to make a Forrest Gump here joke, but it's like a box of chocolates where you know you only have a limited amount. Do you want to just sit down and gorge yourself and eat all of them and be done in it in 3 hours? Or do you want to like yeah. space them out and be able to enjoy it for longer? I don't know.
Because you don't want to throw up Arrested Development.
No, that's true.
No, right? That's the opposite of what you want.
A savor.
Right. Well, it is one of the greatest shows in the history of television. I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard every day for the last 7 years, Tony, but we're so excited that it's back.
Oh,
my God.
I am too. I am very, very grateful to be a part of it. Very grateful.
And you should be grateful to be a part of Veep too, because that is an awesome show and we're equally excited. Well, not equally.
You.
Maybe a little more excited for AD, but we're very happy that Veep is back. And that's
thank
this
you.
Sunday night on HBO. So nice to meet you,
nice
man. I'm sorry about
you.
The hand, but thanks for
I
coming
know.
In.
Thank you very much.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:39. Time to talk to Dr. Drew.
Okay. Dr. Drew, how are you, my friend? What's going on?
What's going on, guys?
Well, we got something we want to talk to you about, but first I've got a piece of tape I need to play for you. Our friend Kevin, not this Kevin, Kevin who runs the Kevin and Bean Archive on the internet, is a crazy obsessed Loveline fan also.
Oh.
He not only loves Kevin and Bean, he loves Loveline. So he's been really enjoying the podcast that you've been doing with Psycho Mike.
Oh, man, I feel set up. Okay.
No, you're not set up at all. I'm certainly not going to use your words against you, but
oh,
I do have a piece
of,
I have a piece of tape I want to play of something that happened on the podcast that
can I set
Kevin
it
and Bean.
Up? Can I just say, I have a feeling I know what's coming. May I
if
set
you,
it up?
If you think you know what it is, sure, go ahead, set it
well,
up, Drew.
Dave and I were just talking about the fact that Mike, Psycho Mike, cannot be jarred. He is unflappable when it comes to disgusting thing.
Right. Right. He's the king of disgusting.
Yeah. And so, not that this is disgusting. It seemed innocent enough at first. He goes, you know, if you were attracted to men, how would you assess that? Who would your guy be? And we started sort of doing who would you rather.
Right.
And it was
right.
very interesting. But, of course, Mike took it to horrible places. But, okay, here we go.
And this is the tape from Dr. Drew and Mike from their podcast.
Kevin or Bean, who would you if you were gay?
Bean.
Whoa.
That's
why?
Quick. Should be more interesting.
Yeah. I can't, like.
it'd be never-ending entertainment.
Like, they're both really awkward dudes, but I can at least imagine Kevin being romantic and making love.
Yeah,
and
I can see.
I can't like imagine a world where Bean's having sex.
Traveling. Traveling with Kevin. Well, that's, see, oh my God.
Do you think Bean would run, like questions by you?
Yeah.
Like, do you think President Polk was a sociopath?
Yeah, then it just went on from there. I just want to say thanks, Dr. Drew, and I'm up for it whenever you are, pal.
All right, man. I'll come up to Seattle and we'll do our thing.
Kevin, you're not offended at all, are you?
No.
Okay, good.
He's relieved.
He's relieved to be out of that one.
Dr. Exactly. Drew can make whatever bad decisions he wants.
I'm just saying he's a pretty sweet man. All right, let's talk about the topic at hand. I know that you don't treat her, but Lindsay Lohan is in the news. In fact, you just had her daddy, Michael Lohan, on your podcast a few days ago.
Yes, I did.
But she is in the news because for a number of reasons, not the least of which is she has to go to a court-ordered rehab. But there's no such thing, I guess, as a lockdown rehab except for in prison. And that's what we wanted to talk to you about, Dr. Drew. What's the point of sending somebody to rehab, like this place in New York that Lindsay's going to, if you literally can make a decision when you get up in the morning that I'm just going to leave and walk out the door and no one can stop you?
Because that is the law of the land in the United States. There are locked units in Mexico. There are not locked units. You can be held against your will for 72 hours if you say I'm going to kill myself or somebody else. You can stay up to 14 days after a hearing if you continue to be psychotic or continue to intend to harm yourself. But you are entitled in the United States to use drugs until you die. Period. You can use until you die. If that's what you want to do, go do it. And so we cannot hold somebody, no matter how crazy they are with their disease of addiction, you can't hold them against their will. You can say, and this is what's going to happen to Lindsay, you can say, if you set one foot outside of this unit, you're discharged, and if I discharge you, that judge is sending you to prison. That's what's going to happen here.
Now, you have encountered this hundreds of times in your long career, and we've certainly seen it on television on Celebrity Rehab, where you say to them, if you walk out the door, you can't come back in. How come?
Because I said so. I'm entitled to run a program as I please, and people are entitled to leave. But I'm entitled to say, hey, you got to follow all the rules, or I can't maintain you in this program. And we used to call them sort of public beheadings. We'd say we would discharge people all the time that weren't ready. They just legitimately weren't ready. I mean, why waste their time, waste their money, waste anybody? And we just go, okay, you're discharged. And it's interesting how the rest of them would get their act together when we would just summarily discharge somebody.
It would scare the rest of the people?
It would sort of get everybody else to understand we're serious. We're here struggling with a life-threatening illness, and we will not tolerate BS. And if you want to go keep using, go ahead, have at it. But if you want to get better, you're going to have to listen. You're going to have to follow. Following direction is the number one sort of predictor of an ability to stay sober and stay in the program. That's the first order of business. Follow direction.
So if they can't follow directions, you doubt their ability to make any more progress.
Well, right. Or we'd obviously assess them to see if right. there's something preventing them from doing that, you know, something psychiatric or medical or whatever. But if it's just that they're not ready, I get that. Have at it. And so, but Lindsay... Well, she'll be ready after Coachella.
Yeah, that's...
Well, that was part two of my question, which is I've also understood that once you have to go to rehab, you have a higher rate of success if you go immediately, yet she's taking weeks before she checks herself in.
That's somebody who's not ready.
So is it 1 week or both weeks?
I don't understand. Listen, the judge was very clear. I've read the recommendation from the court, and it is, you know, if we see you around people who are using drugs or around paraphernalia, you're coming to prison. I don't understand how you avoid that at Coachella.
Oh, so yeah. She's risking that just being around people who are drinking?
That's what her dad was telling me. I didn't see that part myself in the court order. What I saw was something very – listen, this judge, hats off to him, boys. This guy has finally done something on behalf of Lindsay that could save her life and was actually, with her in mind, not being punitive and weird about it, just saying, hey, you have to go for a certain number of time, and at the end of that time, the medical director has to be clear that you're ready to go. And if you're not, if he or she doesn't discharge you, we don't want you back. And if I were a medical director, I can guarantee you it would be 6 to 12 months before she'd be ready to go.
Really? Wow. 6 to 12 months?
Wow. Yeah, for
That's
sure.
That's a long time.
But you're predicting she's going to walk out.
I'm predicting she's going to prison. I'm not sure she's ever going to get the treatment. And as you said, Bean, there are programs in, like Amber from Teen Mom is in a prison-based five-year program. It is fantastic. She is doing great. It's exactly what she needed. But outside of prison, you can't hold people.
So do you think, Dr. Drew, then, do you think that this is a bad law, that it prevents physicians from being able to do their work effectively?
Well, it's an interesting conversation. I've always said if I could just hold somebody for a couple of weeks, even 4 weeks, 5, 6 weeks, you know, if you can hold them long enough off drugs, their brain starts to respond differently. They start to see things. They start to gain insight. They sort of wake up. And so I think it does addicts a grave disservice. To me, it's in that same zone as not doing background checks on people with mental illness before you buy them a gun.
Right.
It's in that same zone where personal freedoms are adversely affecting people and the population. But that's the country we live in.
You can listen to Loveline with Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood as they talk about having sex with me on K-Rock Sunday through Thursday nights at 10 p.m. And then, of course, Dr. Drew is going to be on stage with his old friend Adam Carolla at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. That is going to be Saturday night at 8. Tickets available through drdrew.com. Sounds like fun.
It is going to be good. Please, everybody, show up. Again, it's the Redondo Performing Arts Center on Saturday night. And, Bean, shall I meet you in the barn or where should we meet?
The barn sounds perfect for our first time, Drew. Thanks for coming on.
Seems like you might be over-drumming that song.
Maybe, a little bit at the end there. That's what I needed, though. A big rousing solo at the end, I think.
It's the world-famous K-Rock at 8:53. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
The season finale of Legit, our friend Jim Jeffries' show, airs tonight on FX, and we'll talk to actor DJ Qualls. He's going to roll on in here in a couple of minutes for an interview, coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock, because he's in a wheelchair.
He's not really...
That's why he's rolling. Just hope we were able to get him in the studio with the ramps and stuff. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for us at 8:52. What's going on?
You ever get the sense that there will come actually a time where Bean loses the line between reality and television?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
He kids about it, but I think he's just about 4 or 5 misfiring synapses away from really starting to believe that what happens on his computer screen is real life and the rest of
I'm not interested
illusion.
In what these people are doing when they're not on my TV, Ralph.
I would give him a year to a year and a half.
That sounds
seriously.
Fair. I want to mention this Saturday night, folks down there in the LBC, Long Beach, we're coming down there. Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach. We'd love to have you join us Saturday night. You can go to the Laugh Factory website or see SMOD, SEESMOD.com for more details and tickets. And the reason I bring it up is I just got an email from a mutual friend of ours, fellas, who said, would you consider wearing a Long Beach Clothing Company t-shirt on stage on Saturday night? He actually asked me that.
And you said yes.
I said, hell to the no.
What? How are you going to treat a brother like that?
That's so lame.
Hey, get the clothes here.
Like, what am I, a billboard? Yes. Why do I just go to those sandwich boards? The front of that guy wears the guy plywood things with the straps on him and just ring a bell going up and down.
Tax preparer or whatever.
Exactly. I put on the Statue of Liberty costume.
You could make some extra cash, man.
That'd be good.
You know, a lot of singles would do that. You know, if they're in Houston or something, they'll come out and they wear an Astros jersey on stage or something like that just to kind of get the home crowd.
It's a little pandering, sure.
It is.
It's different, though, if you're in the town of a sports team or something.
It's the LBC, man.
I know.
Well, come on, then. Represent. Grew up there, right?
What the Quakes? Don't they have the Long Beach Quakes down there?
I think so. I'm not sure.
That is classic.
If I wore a Quakes jersey or something, it wouldn't be so specific as to be such a whore for one particular product.
Oh, you passed whore level a long time
ago. Come out like an Ovaltine shirt or something, drinking chocolate milk. I mean, what's the next step? Nuttiness.
You're exhausting.
Chizek. Yeah. Booyah.
While we're talking about money, checked in with the Veronica Mars page over there in Kickstarter this morning. You know, their original goal was to make $2 million so they could finally make that long-awaited Veronica Mars movie. The big screen movie starring Kristen Bell, directed by Rob Thomas, who's also the creator of the original series. $5 million they passed this week.
Wow, they asked for two.
That's for two. They got that in 12 hours. $5 million is what they've received so far, and they're still taking donations. So,
all right, check. This will be the Bean, Mike.
I'm just saying,
the Bean.
That's a lot of money.
Number three. Lightning, we're busy.
We're doing a show here. Like Amanda Bynes says she's going to sue everyone in the world.
That seems unlikely.
Well, she vows to sue any news or entertainment outlet that reports her as exhibiting erratic behavior or claims in any way that she's living my life in the wrong way.
Isn't that all news outlets, though, at this point?
That's what I'm saying. Every news outlet.
She's the picture of stability to me.
She's doing anything wrong or exhibiting erratic behavior is going to be slapped with a lawsuit, she claimed in a lengthy tweet this week. She singled out In Touch magazine, Us Weekly magazine, Perez Hilton. She says she's suing them for hiring paparazzi who follow me, then take the worst photos at the worst angles. Yeah, it's them. They're putting the horrible hair extensions in your head. They're piercing your cheeks. They're making you look bad with your parka on.
I learned a long time ago that sometimes it's not a bad picture. It's just that's what I look like.
Yeah, that's true. You know what? Who doesn't take a bad picture? Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
I've never seen, oh, what a horrible actor angle on her. She looks awful.
Yeah. The rest of us get lucky with a good angle every once in a while.
That's the key. Find your angle and then just make it happen in front of every camera you can find.
Hold up your beers if you're drinking.
Okay.
Lightning, please. Isn't that why Barbara Streisand only lets you shoot her from one side, Ralph?
Yes.
She knows
yes.
She's got a good angle, right?
She's smart. How about this? The History Network, which is just blowing up these days with their Vikings and their Jesus and all that stuff. New miniseries they've just announced for History Network on the life of Harry Houdini.
Interesting.
I would watch this, especially now that I found out Oscar-winning actor Adrian Brody will be starring as the famed magician.
Dirtbag.
He's not. He's a good man, that Adrian Brody.
Seriously.
You know, it's hard to believe because he seems like such an ancient historical figure. But at one time, he was the most famous entertainer in the world.
Really?
It's like Lady Gaga times Justin Bieber in terms of fame worldwide. One of the biggest stars in the history of entertainment. And all he did was...
Can't take a punch, tell you that.
Get out of handcuffs and stuff. Yeah. Interesting story. Born in Budapest, one of six children of a rabbi, moved to Wisconsin, and then became a magician in New York when he was 9 years old, and the rest is history. I'd watch that. I'm also watching this Being Human. You watching that over in Sci-Fi?
Occasionally.
No. Just announced they have renewed that show for its fourth season of 13 episodes, so congratulations to Sam Huntington, Sam Witwer. We've had him on the show. The vampire, the ghost, and the werewolf living together pulls in just 2 million viewers a week. Pretty solid numbers for a basic cable show. So congratulations to those guys. Speaking of television, did you watch the Southland last night?
I love you.
Wow.
Taped it as well.
Wow. You said one of the best hours of TV you've ever seen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's hard to... I guess, yeah, you'd have to call it the best, but it certainly is one of the most disturbing, intense... nerve-wracking hours of television you've
Love
ever
it.
Seen. It's pretty remarkable.
We got a winner! Nelly.
Yeah. You remember the episode seasons ago on Southland where Sammy's partner, when he was still Detective Nate, they go into the middle of that group of guys?
Oh, yeah.
And out of the corner of your eye, and like at the corner of the frame, you see some guy come up with a baseball bat and just crack Nate over the head, and it ends up killing him. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen the show. But if you haven't seen it, F you. You should be watching every week. I thought that was one of those remarkable sort of moments in television that really caught me by surprise in terms of cop shows. Forget about it. Forget about it.
Really?
Forget
wow.
about it. Blows that away. Fascinating. Just a terrific show last night. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dave told me only Joss Stone was born on this day 26 years ago.
You should know better than to listen to Dev.
I did 13 seconds of research and came up with Trisha Helfer from Battlestar Galactica.
Huh? Love her.
I don't look on the
too.
Internet. It is too much work.
She's
I just tried to remember.
Beautiful. He's 39. And Alessandra Ambrosio.
Come on.
Might be a name you'd want to put on a birthday list of this ilk.
And he loves her.
She's 32 years old.
Well,
not enough to know her birthday, apparently.
Yes.
Wasn't she one of
yes,
your little Coachella buddies from a couple of years ago?
He said, oh, I'll probably be hanging out with her at Coachella this year.
I said, really? Well, make sure you tell her you don't know when her effing birthday is.
She goes every year, Bean, in answer to your question, yes.
Oh, she loves us. Kevin saw her and was talking to her.
And then I went, here's the thing. It was the year, when was it? 1999, when Rage Against the Machine got back together at Coachella?
Right.
And they were playing, it's our favorite band, Dave's favorite band, my favorite band. So we were watching, and I came during the band. I said, I just was talking to Alessandra Ambrosio, and she's amazing. And he's like, where? Let's go find her right now.
I don't know why.
I don't know why he did that answer. Either.
Terrible. And didn't care at all the Rage Against the Machine was on.
That's his favorite band.
Yes. And we were scouring the crowd. We never found her. And we found her at the party later.
The moral of the story is, boys and girls, vagina wins every time.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Hey, a long-time Kevin and Bean listener weighs in, Ralph, to remind you that you should wear the Long Beach Clothing Company shirt because it is fresh to death. And it's hard to argue. You forgot true. That it was fresh
it's
to
fresh
death.
It's fresh to death, Ralph.
Fresh to death.
You have right. to wear it now.
Maybe I'll put on a winning bumper sticker, too. Maybe I'll get all the catchphrases going at once.
One, two, three!
God, I miss him.
What's up with that dude?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Sometimes we have a pretty good job when we get to watch a television show that we love, and then we get a chance to have the actors in from that show. And this is one of those cases because Jim Jefferies Legit airs Thursday nights on the FX channel. We couldn't be more excited to welcome DJ Qualls to the Kevin Bean Show.
Hey,
DJ. What's up, man?
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Let me just say that we've been friends with Jim Jefferies for a long time. He's a very frequent guest on the show, and we've been in the loop on this whole show since the very beginning, since he first came up with the idea. We couldn't be happier with the way it turned out and the fact that it's ended up being a big hit for you guys.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is the job that I'm most proud of. In 13 years of acting, I love this show. It's the only thing that I've ever done that I can actually watch.
Really?
Yeah.
How did you get hooked up with Jim in the show?
Well, they asked me to audition for it, and so I went in and read, and Jim didn't make eye contact with me at all. Like
the entire time?
The entire time.
Why?
I don't know.
Have you asked him?
Yeah, so it's part of the story.
Okay.
And so...
Just wait.
And so I was like, God, this guy is, he's kind of dicky, right?
Right.
And so I was like, so then I'd never seen his comedy, so I went home and watched it, and I was like, oh, that's why. Like, he is a dick in real life. So so they called and they offered me the show, and I was like, no. I don't.
Really?
Yeah, because in the pilot, I have to be almost completely naked in front of him. So I was like, I don't want to show my body to a guy who's then going to go on stage and tell the world and how bad it is.
And mock me or whatever, yeah.
Right. So I said no. And then the creator of the other co-creator, Peter O'Fallon, called me. He's like, hey, you need to just meet him. And I met him, and he really is a great guy. He's damaged.
Yeah, he's damaged.
Oh, he's messed
no
up.
No question about that.
You pay to be that funny. But I love him now. We have a great time on the show. It's a dream job. It's basically three guys, you know, just ripping on each other all day. If you don't leave our set crying one time, you're not loved.
So did you get to a point where you came to a different conclusion about Jim Jefferies, or now that you guys are friends, do you think he's still a dick?
No,
because I think he's still a dick, and we've known him for years.
He
the funniest dick I've ever met.
He is the funniest dick I've ever met. You know what? We have a different friendship. He's nicer with me because I hardline him. When he's being terrible to me, I'll just be like, Jim, I know this is coming from pain, and you can't hurt me.
Oh, you turn yeah. him off. You turn him right off.
Yeah.
I like it.
But I also do this thing that he's going to kill me for doing. Jim loves to find your faults and then find the things that bug you and then do them until you get upset about it, right?
Bean. Bean. Mm-hmm.
And so Jim does this thing where when he starts – he laughs at his own jokes, first of all, which I think you shouldn't do. But when he starts laughing at his own joke, he'll keep talking and he'll do one of these things where, you know, he's so talking like that. And so I do it back to him and he hates it.
Sweet.
And so after enough times of doing that to him, he started being a kinder, gentler Jim with me.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, we couldn't be happier how well this show has turned out. And we were a little bit nervous. Kevin, you remember because, you know, we love Jim. What if the show was terrible? Then what do we do? So it was a big relief that it was as funny as it turned out to be. So tell me about playing a guy who is paralyzed. Is that difficult for you as an actor, or is it the easiest gig in the world because you literally just sit around all day?
Jim says it's easy because I sit around all day. It's hard because I'm a hand talker, and I can't move my hands. But I'll tell you this. We don't cut very often. Like, our takes sometimes last, like, 40 minutes.
What?
Your balls will never itch as bad as they do when you know you can't move your hands.
I never thought about that as a downside to showbiz.
Exactly.
How can your takes last 40 minutes? There's not 40 minutes in the whole show.
I know. Our editor said when he edited our first episode, he cried.
Because there was 10,000 hours of videotape to go through.
Yeah,
because
we shoot on video, so it's cheap. So, and also, that's just how we work now. We don't really memorize our lines. We just come in and we know the scenario and we know the jokes, basically. But we just play around, and that's why the show is so fun. I think that's why people like it. Also, the show has a lot of heart. Actually, I was really afraid of several episodes, things that we've done. In the episode where Jim turned a bunch of disabled people into track dogs, like by putting numbers on their backs and racing them, I was like, we're done, dude. We'll get 5 minutes into
this episode.
How
could anyone see that as offensive?
I was like, they're going to cut a test pattern. That's all you're going to hear from us. But people loved it because the show has heart. It's really funny.
That's what's unique about him is he is offensive on every level, and yet he has heart.
Right.
And the heart comes through the show. And when you describe the show, you go, that's a terrible idea.
Right.
And he but told he, us about he, the show. We were like, oh, no. he's going to make fun of the people who paralyze. This is not good.
But Jim clearly has great affection for Billy and wants to take care of him and wants him to be happy and wants to do everything he can for him. I mean, they're very close friends on the show.
We are. And, and it's translated into real life. He's a really good guy. Now that he's a dad, he's gotten a little kinder.
That's scary.
Oh, the kid's gonna be messed up.
There's no question about that.
I'm trying to be polite.
There's a lot of therapy in the future.
The kid is gonna be screwed. Yeah.
Now we're talking to DJ Qualls here on the Kevin Bean Show about the season finale. The episode is called Fatherhood, by the way, and I don't know how much we're allowed to give away, but it airs tonight on FX at 10:30 or 7:30, depending on your system. Now, Lisa, you watched this episode yesterday.
I did.
And you said what?
I was surprised how touching it was.
You almost teared
up,
right?
Funny. I did tear up.
I cried when I saw it.
I did, actually. And I was shocked because I have seen... I kind of stopped watching because it was really
awful. At the rape episode? Did you stop at the rape episode? Our market research has shown that women do not like rape talk.
Not so much.
What? Really? That's what your market research has told you?
It was shocking.
You could have just asked.
I may not be the target for this show, but I have to say I watched that episode and I loved it and I cried.
Yeah, it's a very touching episode.
It's my favorite episode of the season.
And it was so funny too.
There's something about the mastery of being able to take people places they aren't comfortable being and then turning them around and making it work.
Right.
That's a real talent to me, skill. And that's what he does on stage. And it seems like it would be even harder to do on a TV show.
Well, our three lead actors all are dark people in real life. So we're always kind of walking that line. And I think we're very much who our characters are. Like, Jim's a dick with a heart of gold. to quote Jim, I look like a disabled person. And Dan, who plays my brother, he's got a lot of issues too. So it's a good place to get out your demons.
Well, we have very much more we need to talk to DJ Qualls about. Like, does he weigh over or under 100 pounds? That's one of the questions.
I knew you would be dicky to me before I left here.
Yes! He knew you would be dicky.
I was going to be disappointed if you weren't.
We will discuss that and so much more right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Actor DJ Qualls in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show from Legit on FX. Season finale is tonight. You know, we've spent a few minutes with DJ here, and I know he will never run for political office. I know that. Because he's too honest.
I would vote for him if he did.
Too outspoken. Thanks. DJ, you just said something very interesting to us during the song, talking about how fast it kind of happened for you after the Road Trip movie.
Yeah.
You were kind of an amateur actor, right? And then the next thing you know, you're a star, basically, because of that movie and on The Tonight Show and in Hollywood and the whole deal. How'd you ever end up in acting? And I don't mean this at all in an insulting way, but you're not the kind of guy that people look at and go, wow, we can't wait to get him in the movies.
That's actually why I wound up in acting. Basically I was doing community theater for years and I went down to meet Todd Phillips, who directed Road Trip. Mm-hmm. And he was casting day player parts, one-line parts on location. And I was standing in front of a window and my ears are so big, they're translucent. And it was like July and the sun was shining through and they were glowing orange. And he's like, I want to put that on camera. And so they asked me to audition for a lead and I got it. And the movie came out and like a couple of months later, I was kind of everywhere.
It was an act of God. God was showing him your ears.
Exactly.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And are you surprised now 13 years later that you're still a full-time working actor?
No, I'm good at it, dude.
Have you seen me? You are. Of course,
have
the new guy in Hustle and Flow, all about Steve, and we're talking about Legit. So what was the answer to above or below 100 pounds? I don't think I asked. What was it?
I weigh 145.
Yeah.
Wow. You weigh 145.
I do weigh 145.
Ass.
What? Dude, I'm 6'2".
So am I.
What do you weigh? 180, 190? Yeah.
145.
He's 6'2", though.
You don't
Come
carry
on.
It well, dude.
See? What did I tell you? The man is honest. What kind of... I know there were... Jim told us that there were a lot of people who were protesting at the beginning of Legit when you were cast because some felt that he should have hired an actual person in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
But hasn't it completely turned around and now you're like the hero of the people?
Yeah. This crazy lady... sent me this mean tweet. You should follow me on Twitter, by the way. I'm hilarious. She sent me this mean tweet.
Your tweet.
Saying that I was the only DJ Qualls. And some lady sent me a mean tweet saying that I was doing the equivalent of blackface. I was doing Crip face.
Wow.
And, yeah, so she tried to start this online campaign, and the show wasn't even out. So then people saw it and saw that, we weren't making fun of people with disabilities. But we do. I mean...
We make fun of the people.
Yeah,
the
we're
cast,
an equal but, opportunity yeah. offender. Everybody gets crap on our show, and I think it's good that Billy gets my character gets so much crap because it makes him one of the guys.
Yeah, right. He's an equal.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fun part about playing this character is that I get to experience a lot of firsts. Like I get to I had sex on the show for the first time. I got drunk. I did drugs for the first time. So it's a lot of remembering these experiences.
Video chat, which is a scene I want to forget for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Have you ever done that? My friend is addicted to it. It's not Jim.
Really?
Yeah, he's addicted to it.
What's your friend's first and last name?
I can't tell you. But I almost just did. But here's the thing. If you know somebody's addicted to video chat, well, first of all, every time you walk in their house, they shut the computer. But if there is a square inch of his house that's not covered in lube, I haven't found it.
Right.
I'm not kidding. That's what he does. Can you say
and
it on the air?
Scene.
You can say that.
Love it. Now you got to give us his first name.
Phil.
Of course it is.
So
oh,
now,
my God,
though,
dude. I can't believe I did that.
Now the disabled people admire your character because he's, you don't see a lot of people in wheelchairs on TV. And it seems like right. they support him.
Let me ask you about that woman. Did you hear back from that woman?
Yeah, she, she tried to rally. She tries it all the time.
She never gave up.
No, I just blocked her. So, but yeah. And now she goes on our Facebook page and stuff. But, it's been so great to hear people. I mean, so many people have reached out to us and said, thank you for showing that we can live as normal life as possible.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's really rewarding. I know that sounds cheesy, but it actually...
No, I can see that.
It feels totally, really good. Yeah. That feels as good to me as when a frat guy comes up and burps in my face and tells me how much he loves Road Trip.
Now, the actress who plays Wendy, the hooker, that we met in episode one of the season of Legit.
Yeah, Kate.
She ended up with Jim Jeffries in real life, and they have a child together.
Yeah.
Could you see that on set? Was that instant, those two?
I knew it was going to happen from the moment they met.
Did they meet on the set?
Yeah, they met on the set. Oh, he didn't cast her. He wanted somebody else, and Peter O'Fallon, our director, cast someone else. And so they met on the set, and I saw that they were kind of attracted to each other. But at that point, Jim was screwing everybody. So I didn't think it was probably going to go anywhere, but I knew they were definitely going to have sex. But she's so sweet, and he's been a comedian most of his life, and so he's like in a different town and sleeping with a different person. And so she was... She just loved him in the right way, I guess.
It is funny, though, that he saw her naked, essentially, before he ever went out with her.
Actually, I saw her naked before he did.
So you're like his warm-up act.
Exactly.
What do you want to tell us about fatherhood? Because we've been nervous about giving anything away, but clearly that the title itself tells you something.
Yeah, I lose my virginity in the pilot to the prostitute who's played by Kate. And
get your heads
girlfriend.
Around that. People that don't watch this show, get your heads around that. That was episode one.
Right.
Right.
And so she shows up. I can say this. She shows up in the season finale. She's pregnant.
Okay. Gotcha. And we take it from there.
Yeah.
All right. You've already been picked up for season two?
We have. We just found out a few days ago. We're really excited about it.
That's great.
Yeah, we look forward to offending as many people as possible
next
year.
It's a super offensive show, and yet, like Lisa said, it's really got a lot of heart, tough line to walk, I think.
And you guys have
done it really well.
Thank you so much.
Throw out a shout-out, by the way, for a man we had on the show about a month ago talking about Legit when he debuted on the show, John Ratzenberger, who plays your dad on the show.
He is great.
He is hilarious.
He's awesome.
I forgot what a great actor he is because he's kind of been off my radar for a while, but he was a great addition to that show.
He's such a nice guy, and it's such a thrill. Especially growing up as a television fan, to work with him. He's a legend. He's also insane.
Is he insane as well?
Yeah. Just, I wonder. I bet he's not up yet.
Nah.
He's a conservative Republican, like big
hardcore
time.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a pretty liberal guy, so I can't not engage you when you say something that's inflammatory. And so we had this one scene where it was the party scene from this episode, and we all had to improvise speeches. And it was his turn, and he breaks into somehow calling Hillary Clinton a pants suit wearing lesbian or something.
Right.
And as my character, I said, "Dad," to stop him, and he looked at me not as my dad, but as me, as me, as John Ratzenberger.
Like, I'm gonna take your head off.
Yeah, it snapped him out of what he was saying. It's like he went into a trance and started talking about Hillary being a lesbian.
Pete, do I recall correctly when we had him on? Didn't he?
Yes, you do.
He said something, and we were all taken aback, like, "Whoa, yeah. What just happened?"
We asked him some. I wish I remember. We asked him some sort of pretty innocent question, and he started off on this tirade, DJ, about how the world started going to hell when women got into the workforce.
Yeah. John, what kind of cheese do you like?
The world is going to hell! And I just remember thinking, he's got to be joking, because no one would say that seriously.
I know.
Right. He was like, he literally was the women should be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen kind of guy. That was where he was coming from.
You got to love him.
But it's everything he says sounds like he's just being funny, but I think he was being serious, just like
it's because
the day
he's
talking
in the Pixar voice.
Yeah, that's
like
it.
Everything he says is in a Pixar voice, so it sounds friendly and awesome.
He's
it almost makes me
life.
Want to take up arms and carry them around and make women not cut their hair.
Well, listen, we're out of time, DJ, but you're awesome, and great to meet you, and I hope you'll come back and see us again maybe when the show comes back for season two.
Yeah,
season
when the show comes back for season two, we want to have you.
Right on. I can't wait.
Absolutely. The program is called Legit. You got to catch it up. You can see past episodes on the website at FX.com. It's really, really good. Trust us on this one. You're going to love it. And that's DJ Qualls stopping by the Kevin and Bean Show here on the World Famous Kroq.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, sir. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42.
Just fills me with confidence when the first words I hear to Kevin are, oops, before we go live on the air.
Me too. I'm the one who said the thing. That wasn't on the air.
No.
Right? Oh, cool. Okay.
We're all good. Sure was.
We're all
see
good
later,
people.
Beans.
That's a word that is still not allowed.
That's one of your buddies for work while you're having dinner Saturday night.
We're all good, guys.
The oppressive government still doesn't allow that kind of language on our show. All right. It's 9:42. Ralph is here. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on K-Rock.
Did you hear about the farmer? I know this sounds like a big joke.
It sounds like a joke.
On his farm, pulling out a tree stump, using his tractor, his 3,000-pound tractor, and it's muddy ground there. He's got his boots in the mud, and he's trying to work the chain around the stump, and he slips and falls, and the tractor then pins him down on his chest, 3,000-pound tractor on his chest.
No, I did not hear about this.
So then his two teenage daughters,
what's the punchline?
Hear his screams, and they come out, and they lift the tractor off their father.
Really? Oh, my God.
Wow. Two little teenage girls lifted a 3,000-pound tractor off of dad, allowed him to wriggle free and escape.
Why not, Bean? This is America!
Wow. That's one of those stories you hear about, the adrenaline when people get superhuman strength.
There's no way they could have done that.
Not in a million
any other
years.
Day, no.
If you put down a 3,000-pound weight and lift that up, I'll give you $1 million. They wouldn't have been able to do it.
Wow.
Fascinating to me. Which makes me think about all those farmer's daughter stories you always heard about, the sexy farmer's daughters.
Right.
Imagine what those girls could do to you if they could lift a 3,000-pound
tractor. They could break you.
Just bear down and just rip it off. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah. Just saying.
Let's turn painful quickly.
Farmer's daughters. Good stuff.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I got time for that. Kate Upton and Diddy, Sean Combs. That can't happen, right? We can't let that happen.
No, what can't happen?
New York Daily News. Very big difference there. New York Daily News broke the story yesterday, claiming and as yet unnamed witness saw Kate and Diddy, she's 20, he's 43, by the way, sucking face in the VIP room of a Miami Beach nightclub back on March the 23rd. This is just after Kate reportedly broke up with Detroit Tigers pitcher Justin Verlander.
Are you not entertained?
I'd be entertained.
Are you not entertained?
I would be very entertained if I was making out with Kate. They are both, however, denying it via Twitter. Diddy said, "Attention all media. I don't even know Kate Upton personally. I'm not dating her. What's being reported is not true. End of story."
No.
By the way, it's not the end of the story. I can guarantee.
When someone says end of story, it's clearly not.
It means beginning of story. Talk amongst yourselves. Kate tweeted, really? Not true at all. That's all she tweeted.
All right.
So. People, life could be worse. Think about it. It could be worse.
I can understand her being ashamed and denying it, but I can't imagine why he would if it wasn't.
Good point. Why would you ever deny that?
So maybe that person was looking at two other people through tequila-covered glasses.
Who could do this?
More tragic news for Hot
Kitty
Chicks.
Yells a lot, by the way.
He does. That very loud. He was also Lindsay Lohan. That was Diddy too. Remember? Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
He was talking about the.
That's where you got that pronunciation from.
The
proactive
commercials, because she was doing the commercials, and he said he started it with his silky, sexy cocoa butter skin.
You know damn well that Lindsay Lohan and Jessica Simpson was not using no proactive. So Diddy bought proactive. Now, go in the skincare products.
Now
y'all think it's official. Well, I got a secret. I was up on proactive for 7 years. That's why I got the silky smooth cocoa butter skin.
Yeah. Now!
See, cowboy?
That's Dave Chappelle doing a bit.
Since we're talking about Lindsay Lohan. She is checking into a beautiful facility called the Seafield Center in beautiful West Hampton Beach, New York. Where it is, they agreed on that place because it has 24-hour staff to guard the doors and surveillance cameras and walls to keep Lindsay from getting out. And if she does, they'll know about it, and then they can hand her over to the police, put her right in the hooskow. What we're finding out now is that the head of the joint is good friends with her father, Michael Lohan. Apparently, Michael spent a little time in that rehab facility himself back in the 80s to get off of booze and blow. Went in there for a 28-day program, kicked it, got out. Right away. But they remain friends anyhow, and there's some sort of hinky situation going on there between Dad and the head of the facility.
Her dad freaks me out. I'm not a fan.
He is
There's a lot wrong there.
Yeah, but it's beyond just the usual sort of fame whorish nature of some of these pseudo-celebrities. He's got a real serial killer vibe about him or something. Like one of those guys.
It's disturbing. I don't know what it is.
The neighbors will be interviewed about at some point, saying, yeah, he kept to himself, but I always got a bad feeling from that guy.
Same thing with Bean, right?
Exactly.
I can hear you guys.
Oh, sorry.
Right, I'm right here.
Grand total for her stay is set to be $51,750. Where is she going to come up with that money?
Porn?
Nah.
I don't know.
Maybe Michael can get a cut rate deal from his buddy who runs the joint.
Although she did that thing in Brazil where she was promoting something.
It's true. That was like six figures she got for that jean line, the John John Jeans line. Congratulations to Samantha Mawson.
I don't know who that
she
is.
She is the Showbiz Beat Citizen of the Day. Samantha Mawson is a woman in Longmont, Colorado, who police say they had to be called to the scene because she was strangling her boyfriend. Choking her boyfriend in a fit of rage because he refused to stop singing Thrift Shop by Macklemore and Lewis. Fight got so ugly, police had to take her into custody for harassment and domestic violence.
Oh, my God.
If I'm on that jury, she is going free. That's all I got to say. She's walking. I'm sorry, do we have a breakfast with them coming up or something? Why is everyone so silent?
Don't.
Did I step on somebody's...
Nope.
No, not at all.
Toe.
All good.
All right.
But I will tell you, I think everybody's been in that position where that song is just the hook. You can't get it out of your mind. You can't stop singing it or thinking about it or playing it or whatever it is. It's something about some songs that just do that to you. But it's pretty annoying for the other people around you.
Sure is. And congratulations to Jenna Jameson. Looks like she's going to get off on those charges of assault. Turns out, the woman she's accused of assaulting is her transgender assistant, Brittany Markham, who claimed that Jenna beat her up with the brass knuckle iPhone case that she carries around.
Dude.
Sound serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Started yelling at her, punching her in the stomach and back with the weaponized iPhone 5. However, the prosecutors down there in Orange County said they will not be pressing any further charges because there is a lack of evidence in the case. So it looks like Jenna is going to get off scot-free, at least for the criminal charges. Brittany is asking the court for a restraining order, and it is unclear if she plans to follow up with a civil suit against Jenna Jameson or not, but some people are speculating it's just a matter of time before that happens.
We spent some time this week talking about citizen's arrest, and that's what this case was. I wonder if that's part of why they didn't have enough evidence, is because this is one of those cases where they... You know, the police didn't see it.
We did find out it's all on the person making the citizen's arrest to get enough proof and to present it and all that. So maybe.
Could be a full-time cop.
Almost.
Without the badge and the gun, without the good stuff. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Birthdays.
Birthdays.
Sing it if you know it.
It's my candle-blowing birthday.
Joss Stone is 26 years old today. Jennifer Esposito, very talented actress, turns 40 years old. Actress and cyborg, Trisha Helfer, 39 years old today. Not cyborg, Cylon, I guess.
Cylon.
More appropriate. She is a robot, though. We know that much for sure. And Alessandra Ambrosio, she turns 32 years old.
If you don't sing, you don't get no birthday cake. If you can't swag, you can't have no birthday cake.
They can't swag. They don't get no birthday cake.
I think that's fair, by the way. Yeah,
more
I do.
Than fair.
It's a good solid rule.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on an all-new show, it's a Friday, so we've got the movie beat. We have Bean almost got in a race war. Can't wait to tell you that
race
story.
War,
I can't wait to tell you that story, Ralph. You're going to love it so much.
On.
You're going to love it so
I didn't almost get in a race war.
Why do we still
here
work
we go.
With him?
It's on! Race war! Race war's on, everybody! It's going down! It's going down! Race war. Come on. Race war.
With all the horrible things Bean says about minorities off the air, why are we still working with him?
I love minorities.
Can we just say
this might be the end.
This is not acceptable.
Maybe tomorrow
is
that day.
I had an uncomfortable moment with a black man in my house yesterday, though, and I don't know if I handled things properly or not, so I need a little advice, that's all.
Ralph's showing us that you handled things properly.
Yeah, both hands.
Also, what's up with Florida? And we've got your Coachella 3-day passes tomorrow.
And, Kevin, for reals, what time are you going to show up tomorrow?
Can't guarantee you anything.
You are going to be at the K-Rock Coachella house, right?
So
the party begins tonight for you.
Right.
That's the question.
Yes, Ralph. The K-Rock Coachella house, yes. I will be there tomorrow.
Given our crack technical staff as well as Kevin's drinking problem.
How dare you? I'm
saying the over-under
good
is
at drinking.
8 o'clock.
I will be there at 5:30 and sharper than ever.
All right. Look forward to that.
Tomorrow morning.